Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. We're here live tonight. Good to be with you. Hang on a second. Hi, guys. Good to be here. Sorry, I had a little trouble with that. Had to redo the show. I had two shows set up for some reason, and it didn't work when you do that. So, all right. We're glad to be here tonight, and thank you for being with us. And we are here to minister to you personally and talk to you Mondays and Tuesdays. We do a lot of talking, a lot of going around, talking about all kinds of things, whatever's happening, fresh and new. Talk to a friend, see what's going on. You never know what we're going to talk about anytime, really. But Mondays and Tuesdays, we kind of do that. Wednesdays, we prophesy to every person who calls in. So if you miss us, sometimes call back in on Wednesdays. And we will definitely, we don't talk to anybody on those nights. We prophesy to everybody who calls in. If you can hang on long enough, we will do it. So put your phone on speaker and listen. Wait for us to call your number, and we'll get you, okay? We'll get every person on Wednesday night, every person on Wednesdays. So make sure you call in 15 minutes early on Wednesday. The show starts at 9 o'clock, 7 Central Time and Texas Time, and you can call in at 8:45, 15 minutes early, and get in early, get in line early. In case you have things to do or work or sleep or whatever. So do that. You can call in 15 minutes early. Just call in 15 minutes early at 8:45 and you can get in early. And, all right, so you have 15 minutes to do that. And after that, everybody gets in. So, all right, there you go. All right, good to be with you tonight. All right, let's talk about this. Let's look at some of the stuff that's going on here. All right. Yeah, so one of the things that I love is that the presence of Jesus torments devils, right? People love it, but it torments the devil. It's amazing. Jesus, when he'd walk into places, he would, crossed over the sea, and they went and into this particular place, and as they got out of the boat and entered onto the land, out came this demoniac, and the demon said, "Why do you torment us? We know who you are. You're the Son of the Most High God." I mean, it's amazing how in the spirit world things are known. Angels know, demons know, but what about people? They don't know what's up with that. And that's what we want to change, right? We want to change that to where we know what's going on. And we're not blind. We're not deaf and dumb. We see, we know. When the anointed Son of God shows up, in whatever way he shows up, we're going to watch demons be tormented. That's not eternal hell. That's here in the earth. Demons are tormented by his presence, or by the presence of the Holy Spirit, or by the power of God, right? It torments demons. Demons don't want to come where the glory of God is. They can't handle it. As you see the demoniac in Mark chapter 5, verse 7 says, and crying out with a loud voice, he said, What have I to do with you, Jesus, you Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, don't torment me. I mean, the devil was tormented by the presence of Jesus, but through a man who had no limitations, right? He was a human being. In that sense, he was limited, but as a human being, he wasn't limited. Now, he was limited. He wasn't the eternal, all-seeing, all-knowing. He was now in a physical body. But unlimited in the sense of as a human being can be. And so it's amazing, and the anointing didn't make demons feel comfortable. It tormented devils. Sometimes we got to think about that, what's going to happen in the end times, especially when God starts pouring out his spirit. And we got a lot of demonic things going on all over the globe through all kinds of stuff. The church has got its issues, but you know, we have the demonic realm and all that, and the devils, it torments them. And that's why we got to get rid of those devils, man. Cast those devils out. Cast them down, and where they can't function, and get them off into their own little territory until Jesus comes and gets rid of all of them, which he's going to do soon. He really is. He's going to cast them into, you know, he's going to lock them up for 1,000 years. And it's going to be amazing when that happens, and I'm looking forward to that. But, you know, then it's still not over. We've still got some things going on, but this is an amazing step we're going to take in the coming years of stepping into the millennium. Most people have had, like myself, have had just, you know, fantastical idea of what the millennium is. I never really knew for sure personally until now all of a sudden everybody's talking about it. Why? Because there's something going on. Yeah, and it's not just a few. It's a lot of people talking about it. So it's really amazing. It's not really what I want to talk about tonight, but we've got to think about that. In the end times, what's the anointing of God going to be doing? He's getting ready to get rid of the devil. He's going to confront the devil in many ways. And the Antichrist is going to be the epitome of that through a man. And God's presence, you know, the two witnesses, that's one of the things that they do. They torment. Remember, it says in Revelation 11, it says that, let's just look at that. Let me read that for a second. I hadn't really put all that together. Let's look at it here. Yeah, see what's going on with this. Revelation 11. And let's look here and see what it says. Give me just a minute here. I don't know where we're going with this right now. I don't really want to talk about this particularly, but looks like that's what we're going to do for a moment at least. The two witnesses, you know, we're going to hear a lot more talk about this. A lot more people are talking about the two witnesses right now more than ever. Never heard so much talk about it. Everybody has a little bit different opinion, so it's going to be interesting to find out what all everybody comes up with. It said that when they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war with them. In other words, after they finish their prophesying, they're going to prophesy for 3.5 years. And they're not stoppable. If anybody tries to stop them, fire comes out of their mouth and devours the people. It's horrible way to die, but that's what's going to happen. And it's going to be powerful, man. It's going to be powerful. It's God going after demons. It's God going after the devil. Watch what happens here with the two witnesses. After they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends up out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. The two witnesses. But after they finish, they're just like John the Baptist. When John the Baptist finished doing his thing, and Jesus showed up, and Jesus started his ministry, it was time for John to move on. He didn't have a purpose anymore. He would have been miserable, and he would have had no purpose because everything he was born to do, he did it. And now it's done. At 30-something years old, he was taken out. And we got to see that as a beautiful thing, not as a, oh, my God, can that happen to me if I finish God's will? So let me take my time. I don't think so. I don't know, whatever. But so they finished their prophesy for 3.5 years. The beast comes out and kills them, and their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city for 3.5 days. And the peoples from every tribe, and then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead body to be put into graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, making merry, and send gifts to one another because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Now we went from Jesus tormenting, you know, in Mark 5 to Revelation 11, verse 10, where the two witnesses, the testimony that they had, how would you like to have this ministry? Oh, yes, when Brother Chandler came to town, we were tormented. It was awesome. The anointing was powerful. I don't know who wants that, really, but that's really what's going to happen, right? You got to think about this. We're going to start having to think about this stuff because this stuff's going to be happening. So get ready for it. Right? Because it says, for those who dwelt on the earth, while the two witnesses were there, were rejoicing and having like a Christmas party, making merry, and sending gifts to one another because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Now, what would torment them? Because these people have demons, really. Yeah, and so the earth is going to be full of people have demons. We have a lot of that going on right now. That's not going to really be that big of a deal of a change, actually, from what we have going on right now. It will increase to a certain degree, but, you know, so people have a distorted view of what this is going to be like. They think that all these people right here who are rejoicing over the two witnesses being killed, because these two prophets tormented those who dwelt on the earth. You know, in other words, the whole earth. They traveled the whole earth. They moved around the whole earth, right? Because it said these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. In other words, you know, the earth was, all the people in the earth were tormented by the anointing on these two guys, right? And these are not believers, friend. The two prophets, it's like Jesus. Jesus didn't torment Christians. He didn't torment godly people who are hungry people who wanted him, right? What got tormented with him was demons. Well, then we have the two witnesses, you know, many years later, 2,000-something years later, and you got these two prophets that are the most powerful men of God on the earth, and those who dwell on the earth, and of the whole earth, that they somehow or another, they got around a lot. I don't know how they did it exactly, probably through TV, probably through, you know, being transported, who knows what all, how they get where they're going, but these two prophets tormented those who dwell on earth. That's why they were so happy about them. And then, of course, you know, verse 11, and after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on all the disciples. And he said, and the voice said, come up here. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them at the same hour. In other words, they had a lot of enemies, lots of enemies. Could you imagine having an anointing for plagues? That's what it says. Now, I just want y'all to get used to it. I've talked about this off and on over the years, but I want y'all to start getting used to this, because we're going to start hearing this about pretty soon down the road. It says that it talks about the two witnesses. I will give the power to my two witnesses in verse 3, 11, chapter 11, verse 3, Revelation 11, verse 3. I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees, the two lampstands standing before God, the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds out of their mouth. What a wonderful anointing they had. Mess with me, and this is what you get. And devours their enemies. Fire didn't devour the Christians. The fire devoured their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have, now watch the second anointing that they have. These have power to shut up heaven. In other words, no raining. So as long as they're prophesying, the areas that they're prophesying in, there's not going to be any rain. In other words, that's going to be one of the ways that they're going to deal with people, is there's not going to be any rain. Right, and it says, and it goes on to say, and they have power over the waters to turn them to the, and strike the earth with plagues as often as they desire. Now, where in the Bible do you see something like that? Nowhere. These guys have the power. Right, it says, and they have power, verse 6, power over waters to turn them to blood, and power to strike the earth with all plagues, as often as they desire. Why? Because it's hyper-evangelism. If you want your loved ones to get saved, and they're not saved before the tribulation, the great tribulation starts, they will be, if there's any hope in them at all, they will get saved during that time. Because these brothers are a couple of tough dudes, and they got an anointing that is the last day's anointing. They're going to be being used by God to bring people to, you talk about fear. Woo! This fear is going to be the fear of God, and they're going to be really working on that. So they're great evangelists. They're prophetic evangelists. And anyway, they will be killed after 3.5 years. They have power. The beast will eventually have power over them, but it's only until they finish their job. You know, when you finish your job, maybe God will allow you to be taken out. Who knows? If you're afraid of that, maybe you're not walking in the will of God, right? If you're walking in the will of God, you're eventually, as you move forward, not going to be afraid to die. The only thing that makes you afraid to die, the two witnesses might have been not afraid to die, but didn't want to die until they finished their purpose. When they finished their purpose, it's like, we did it. Our prophecy, our testimony's over. We've done it. Everything God told us to do, what are we going to do now? Twiddle our thumbs? Get on TV and give testimony about the old days? The old days, you know, like when Elijah was Oh, I remember back in the day when the Chariots of Fire came and picked me up. It was really hot, but, you know, God is good. And all of a sudden, I was in the heavens. It was amazing. And I even saw Enoch up there. Enoch knocking on heaven's door. It was Enoch. And, yeah, it was really cool. So, you know, you can just imagine. What are they going to do? When their stuff is done, that's it, man. You got to think about your life like that. What are you living for? Just to, you know, do what? What are you doing? What are we doing? What you doing? You know, come on. Let's really wake up to this, y'all. Let's really wake up to this. I mean, I'm waking up to it, right? I'm waking up. We're all waking up to it. And PGN is been chosen to be right in the middle of stuff. So you might ought to just get ready for the hot stuff, because it's going to happen whether you're ready or not. I just want you to be ready. And if you're fighting what I'm prophesying, then you'll be okay maybe, but you're just not going to be quite ready. Just quit fighting it. All right. Let God show you. And then if you're not able to open up to it, then maybe you're not called to be a part of it. So God will show you, you know, God will show you. But you have to lose your fear of dying, lose your fear of being a man pleaser. Right. That's one of the things God told me years ago. He said, one of the things that grieves God more than anything, is the fear of man. More than anything. That's more than witchcraft. That's more than, you know, evil. That's more than is his servants fearing men. Hearing what people go, oh, I don't want to get it. I don't want somebody to say something bad about me. Well, I've said that many times in my life. So I understand completely. Believe me, I do. And so so I'm not criticizing anybody, because I've been in your shoes. I know exactly what it feels like, until God, little by little, began to free me from it. It took time, but he did. He has done that, you know, for the most. I think I'm totally free of it, but I might not be. We're working on a lot of things. All right, so I didn't really want to talk about that. I mean, it was the plan tonight, but I just picked that up tonight and wrote it down. And so, yeah, there you go. One of the things we're going to that I want to talk about tonight is the spirit of worship. This is really one of the things I wanted to get into tonight, hoping the Lord would let me do it. We've talked about this a little bit before, but I want to touch on it before we move on and start praying for people and start talking to people. The spirit of worship, you know, everyone knows that Lucifer was given, you know, the ability to sing and to worship. Has the ability to give. He was given, you know, pipes. You know, hang on a second. Let me look this up. I don't want to go here just for a moment, and. Okay, go here, and I want to see, I want to go here for a second. Okay, I'm trying to find this here. Okay, here it talks about, thou hast been in the Garden of Eden, Garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. Sorry, names all those. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. And some commentators say that the tabrets, T-A-B-R-E-T-S, and pipes are the sockets and grooves used in settings for precious stones, but I believe, so I can't find that right now. I can't seem to see that right where I'm at, you know, Lucifer was given the ability to sing and worship, and that's what he was. He was a worshiper, and God created him. So I've talked about this before, but I want to share about it a little bit tonight, that, you know, God does everything. When God created the heavens and the earth, he created everything with Lucifer, who was, you know, the worshiper, and had vocal cords and vocal and pipes and organs like a massive worship, the most powerful worshiper and singer that you'd ever know that's ever been created. And so when God would create the heavens and the earth, he would sing. It's just like you see music in churches where the preacher's preaching and they got an organist, you know, playing the music behind him. And so when God said, "Let there be the heavens," you know, Lucifer was singing music and "Let there be the heavens and the earth, and let there be Adam and Eve, and let there be the trees, the field, and the earth, and the dirt, and everything." And everything that was created for him was created with music in it. When God said it, it didn't come along with just "Thus saith the Lord." It came with background music. It came with Lucifer's, you know, powerful vocal cords, singing and declaring along with God. And I believe that that's what caused him to be really arrogant and pompous, is that he worked with God creating the heavens and the earth. You know, he was a divine instrument that God used to be the, you know, the music and the singing and the worship, you know, of God. And when God would say, "Let there be something created," like the dirt, the dirt in the ground, you know, and everything within it, the lava in way deep, and all the different layers of everything that's in the earth, the gold, the silver, everything was the trees. Remember, the Bible says the trees of the field will clap their hands. I think that's in Psalms. That's in Psalms. Where's that at? That's Psalms. Let's go here. Let's look at this. Psalms 19 talks about, you know, how that they're, you know, the mountains proclaim the glory of God, and the heavens declare the glory, and the trees clap their hands, and all the scriptures that talk about that. "And the trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands." Y'all know those songs? And those songs are powerful, man. And the trees of the field clap their hands because everything that was created through with along with music. In other words, music and sounds of music and the beauty of the rhythms and the sounds of music are in everything that has been created. That's why people love to sing. I'm looking this up. When something goes on, you know, when we sing and we worship, that's why praise is so powerful, because the dirt outside needs to have some worship going on, because it says in Romans 8 that it's in bondage. It's in pain. It's suffering. It's groaning. Why? Because it needs to sing. It needs some worship going on. It needs to hear the praises of God. And when music is stirred up in the earth, when you go outside in your backyard and you start singing and worshiping, the dirt, believe me, the dirt's that you can't see it, but it's going, yeah, it's singing along with you. "The trees of the field will clap their hands. All the trees of the field will clap their hands." You know, and so this is all going on, friend. And because everything in the earth was made to through music and by music, including you and me. When God said, "Let there be Adam and Eve," when he created Adam and Eve out of the dirt, out of the dust of the earth, he did it with Lucifer, with the greatest voice that could ever be, and the music was so dynamic that when God said, "Let there be," you know, "Let us create Adam and Eve in our likeness," when those words were spoken, music went into that. That's why music is in our soul. It's in our being. That's why music moves us. That's why music, it's like our cells are made. Our brain cells, our body, every part of our joints, our fingers are made out of music. Amen? And that's why people love to worship and sing. That's why worship service is so powerful, because we're made to sing. We've been created from our skin, everything a part of us, every part of our being, our blood, has been made out of words from God, made mixed with music. That's the mixture. It's mixed with music. It's mixed with worship. Yeah, Mike says when he prayer walks, that he has music in the background. It makes it twice as powerful. I believe that. And so what's happening is, friend, is that when you're praying over territory or your house or, you know, land or whatever you're doing or the trees, everything that's been created by God, I mean everything, was literally when God said, let there be the stars, those stars love music. They sing. They worship. You know, it literally says, for you shall go forth with joy. Isaiah 55, verse 12. Look at this. Isaiah 55, verse 12. For you shall go forth with joy and led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Now, this was Isaiah saying this. You also hear a lot of times about David. David talked about this. He understood this. And that's why the worship caused, here we are talking about demons again. That's why worship tormented demons. Right? Because, you know, they totally contradicted everything God does. So when you do something in worship and that has an anointing in it, torments the devils. The devils can't stay on that property. They can't stay in your children. They can't stay in your house. They can't stay in the territory that you're walking on. When you sing in worship and you seal that place and you set that land free, that literally the dirt, it says right here, for ye shall go forth with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. Man, there's something about this. When you're out there worshiping and walking on some property or land that you're believing God for, or you just believe in God to get the demons off of it, to cleanse it and wash it. Friend, let me tell you something. You know, if when you have music going on, I mean, it just brings everything to life, because even the trees like to sing. Why? Because they were made, when God said, let us make the trees of the field, they were made with music in the background. It was a mixture. In other words, their DNA has a mixture of music in it. It has a mixture of sounds of worship from heaven, done through Lucifer. That's why God created him, so that when he created the heavens and the earth, everything he created, when he created it and he spoke it out, it had music mixed in it. It's like a mixture. It's part of a mixture of the anointing that God has. And so it doesn't mean you have to go singing everywhere you go. It's good to do that. But when you have a rejoicing heart and a worshiping heart, you know, that worshiping heart inside you, and your cells begin to rejoice when you go to church, or you go to turn on the music, or come, whatever you're doing, you turn on the music and it's anointed by God, every cell in your body wants to move. I mean, some people you would think it's not happening to them, but it's happening to them. They're sitting there and they're going to be tapping. They can't hardly help it. They're tapping their foot. Everybody else is worshiping and jumping around and singing out loud and crying. And these really conservative people, if you look at them over there, you know, they're tapping their toes. That's about all they can do, but, you know, because that's all they'll let happen. But whoever, who cares? Because they can't help it. Friend, worship and music is part of the mixture of how God created the heavens and the earth. And when you understand the secret that everything that was created with a mixture of God's word that God said, let there be, and it came with music involved in it. And the music had words, and the music had, you know, a background and holding up, you know, with God, his word, and the music and the sounds went into every fiber of every tree and every hill and every everything that was created. And it says, the hills shall break forth and before you into singing. You know why? Because they were made through singing. They love singing. That's part of who they are. The dirt, right? And all the trees of the field. Verse Isaiah 55:12. All the trees. It didn't say it's a certain kind of tree. It says all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Wow. All the trees. Why? Because that mixture. And when you and I begin to really get a revelation on this and start understanding that when God created everything, he created it with music. There was no silence in the background. The background was full of worship. It was full of angels singing. It was full of, they were working with God, declaring with God. It was God's power and God's word, but it was made with the mixture. That's why he created music in the heavens. and the angels are singing. And that's why you hear the angels singing, because everything that was made through singing. And that's why even the demonic realm uses music, because the demonic realm knows how to use music to capture people, to put them in bondage, because the devil knows he's the one who was used to make the music. And when he made the music with God, and God created everything, including every angel, everything, every one of them were made out of music. Yeah, everything was. Everything was made out of worship with God's words saying, let there be. Woo! And when you really, really start understanding that that's the mixture, and that mixture has to do with how we break people free, how we loosen the earth, how we pray over the dirt and over the hills and over the trees, the earth free from the bondage of corruption and misery, right? It's through knowing that music and worship, that it's not just you that loves it. It's not you tapping your toe. If you could see the dirt and the hills and the mountains, they're singing along with you. There's a vibration going on that can't be seen with the human eye. But when you set them free to worship and set them free from the worship of the devil, set them free from the music of Satan, it's because Satan's music is inspired to do the opposite. So we have to reverse the curse by putting Holy Ghost worship with anointing of God in it, and redeclaring and reminding the earth that you have been created through the word of God and through music, by music, but the music that's anointed by God, and remind it. And that's what sets it free, because the music played on some of these places where these people loosen demons, and they have their music too. The music realm is what turned America, you know, pretty dark there for a long time, and still does today. The music realm. Why? Because the devil knows. He was there when the earth was, you know, he was there when people were created. He knows. That something in them loves the sounds of the horns and the drums and the rhythm and the singing and the words. And God wants to use us to use worship to understand that the mixture of setting the earth free and setting people free is to get them loosened up with good worship and music. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why we were trying to do some things at PGN there for a while, trying to work on that. And, you know, and worship leaders sometimes can be, you know, really, you know, this is a known fact. I'm not just saying this. You know, they can become, just like Lucifer, they can become very arrogant. And it's really a battle. It's really a battle. I've dealt with it many times. And because they know, people that have an anointing for music and worship, they know that when they're moving in the flow, that it's powerful. And so the enemy uses it to, you know, a lust for money and a bunch of other things. And it becomes really corrupt. And it snuck into the church big time. And it comes about, So anyway, it's a whole dynamic about music and the word, about words and music and words, and creating and recreating and developing by things by the word of God and by music. Friend, it's just amazing. And so we hear all these testimonies about how the angels sing, and how when people go to heaven, they see the grass singing, and everything sings, everything moves and with the rhythm and worship. And friend, I'm telling you, this is something God is. I know we've talked about this a little bit before, and I don't know how we're going to do this. I don't know how this is all going to work with what's going on here. But I think maybe the message God has me prophesy the message, and then eventually, you know, God somehow opens up the door for that. So let's pray that somehow whatever God wants to, how He wants to develop this with us here at PGN, and work this into this. I don't know, but how it's going to work exactly. But let's believe God to show us how to do that, and we've got to have it. God's gonna develop it somehow or another. So anyway, all right, there you go. Very, very good, and I'm glad we got to share that with you tonight. We really believe that God is going to, God's doing a great thing, and we're moving into a place, as you all know, if you've been listening to the show much, There's a lot of amazing things going on, and we are very, very excited about where we're at and the glory of it and the glory of God in it. And in the financial realm, there's a lot of things going on. So pray. If you haven't been praying much, if you've been praying a little bit, pray a little bit more. Pray a little bit more for me. Pray a little more for PGN as we move into this new place, this new season. Our position has always been the same with God, but it's moved. We have our positions with God, right? And with God, I know my position with God, just like you know your position with God. But that position has to be made known in the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So what God is doing now is he is making known the position of my own personal prophetic prophet's mantle and prophets, the position. Every prophet has different prophets have different positions that they are in. And I have the position God has put me in, just like you have all the positions that God has put you in. And so the position that God has put me in, and I've known it for a long time, and it's been in the heavens for a long time, and I've seen it, I know it, and it's starting to develop now. But what's happening is it's transferring from heaven to the earth, and through certain events that are developing right now, and you know it's going to take a little bit of time, but not much time. I don't. When I say it's going to take some time, there's no more delays. And when I say there's no more delays, like the book of Acts, like the book of Revelation talks about, there's no more delays. When I gave that word, I don't know, a couple years ago, no more delays. That doesn't mean that it's going to all happen tomorrow. That means that it's starting to unfold, and it's not going to wait to unfold any longer. It's literally unfolding, right? Before you open up a book, it's like you got the book, you buy the book, but until you open the book and start reading it, you know, it's like it doesn't start, the pages don't start revealing. So that's what's happening now. There's a book that's being opened, and the pages are being read, and it has our names in it, the Book of Life. It has our names in it, not just that we're in the Book of Life, but our callings and our positions. And that is being made known in the earth right now. It's being made known in the earth so quick it makes your head spin. It makes my head spin of how quick everything's happening. And so we are going to see this thing we talk about tonight, anointing, the anointing that torments devils, the two witnesses, how they tormented devils, tormented people that were full of the devil, Revelation 11, in case you missed that tonight, go back and look at that. So we're going to see that happen, the tormenting of devils and the tormenting of people. When you find people, it's like, let's say, who can we look at here? We can look at Jesus. Jesus, when he went places, the devil said, why have you come here to torment us? That was Jesus. That qualifies it as a God thing for sure, right? Because the devils were tormented by Jesus, right? And he didn't have anything wrong with him, right? So that qualifies that as being a thing of God. The two witnesses do it in Revelation 11:11. They're told that the worldly people who were so full of the devil were tormented by these two witnesses, by these two prophets, and that's why they were so glad they were dead, because now little did they realize what's about to happen. And so so the fact that our position in this particular place in history with the Bible, the Word of God, is beginning to unfold. And that's what I mean. That's what God means when he's speaking to us about no more delays. Delaying meaning the book is being opened, and now the text is being read. The pages are being read. The pages have names in them. The pages have what those people are going to do. It's like a book showing up tomorrow at your house, and it's just all about you. It's Randy from Garland, you know, Prophet Randy from Garland, or whoever you are, your name on it, and it shows up to you tomorrow, and it starts reading to you. As you read it, you find out everything you're going to be doing from generally overall, from month to month, from day to day, from week to week, so to speak, what you're going to be doing for the next, you know, few years. You see what I'm saying? It's like that book has been opened up now. The book has been opened. You ever heard this before? Well, it's been opened. And that book has been opened. And in that book, in the book with the names in it, the names that just have names in them, like Randy belongs to me, to Jesus. You belong to Jesus. It is, you know, you belong to Jesus. And this Randy Stephen Chandler is going to be, you know, doing this and this and this. Here's his position. Here's what he is. And it's not just something written on pages. It is something that's being activated in the earth that is literally happening. When Jesus opened up the book after he was tempted of the devil, went into Jerusalem and went to the temple, and he opened up the book and said, this scripture has been fulfilled. Right? He's talking about the Messiah coming. And there's only one Messiah, and his name is Jesus. And when he opened up that book, and that they had been reading about him, they were actually reading about him, and nobody knew that he was there. See, that's the thing. They were reading about him, and nobody knew that he was there. Let's look at that for a second. Hang on a minute. All right, let's look at this for a second. I got a feeling we're going to talk about this for a little bit, so hang on. Because I'm prophesying to you what's going on right now, and I've not talked about this before, about the books being opened. Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, led by the into the wilderness, being tempted of the devil. He went on, and he entered into, and that after he completed his testing, Jesus begins his Galilean ministry. This is Luke 4, verse 14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues and being glorified by all. Jesus went into Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and it was his custom. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up and read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now watch this. Y'all ready for this? I don't know, you may not be ready for this. We're going to get it anyway. And see, here's the book I'm talking about, verse 17. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He's reading out of scripture right now in Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captive, and recover the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those that are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year, the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And all the eyes of who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And then he gets up and stirs up stuff, you know, right away. So he opens up the book. Now, see, here's what I'm talking about. Now, I don't know how to explain this any other way than what we're reading right here. There came a time when he shows up, he goes through his test, being tempted of the devil, fasted 40 days and all that, driven by the Spirit of God into the wilderness. He wins the battle, passes the test, goes into his hometown. Isn't it amazing he went into his hometown, the Nazareth of all places. And then there, and in his hometown, now you have to understand the boldness of this thing. He goes into his hometown. Nobody knew that Jesus was the Messiah. He was an illegitimate bastard, according to a lot of people. He was a man who was a child who was born. Everybody questioned, you know, whether his mother had been messing around on Joseph. So this is crazy, right? And he goes into this town. And they hand him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened it up, he found the place where it was written. And he says, he's reading about himself, just like I'm telling you tonight. The books have been delivered, so to speak. And now we're going to open the books. And in the book is going to be your name or who you are or what you represent. And what you represent is going to say what you're going to do. Like Randy Chandler, he will, you know, do the things he's going to do, and it talks about all the details. It's like that with Jesus. He said, he opened up the book, and he said, "This is about me, y'all. This is about me, okay? You ready for this? He didn't say this until he sat down, but this is what he's speaking. He's saying, this is about me today, okay? This is about me, 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 me. Who are me? Who are you? Who are me? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Friend, until you realize that the Spirit of God has a purpose for you, you, me, me. Jesus didn't, this sounds like, oh, how can you say me, 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 me? Because that's what it says. Watch all the me's here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Can you say that without feeling like you're being arrogant or pompous or whatever? The Spirit of the prophet, the Spirit of the prophet is upon me. The Spirit of the teacher is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me. There's me twice because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me. Look at this. To heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recover sight to the blind, and liberty to the oppressed, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Got me. One, two, three. Three times. You got me. Me, me, me. Me, 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 me. Well, friend, you know what? There comes a time when it becomes about you and what God has called you to do. And when that happens, as God opens that bunch of what's happened, that's what's happened with me personally. I'm having this. This is happening with me. And God is not just, I've known what I'm going to be doing in the spirit realm for a long time, but in the heavens. But now, just like when Jesus walked into Nazareth, after he walks into Israel and he walks into Nazareth specifically, and he opens up the book of Isaiah in his hometown. You don't just do things like that in your hometown. Go somewhere where nobody knows who you are. It'd be a little bit easier to preach this. But he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he said, this is me I'm talking about, y'all. Because he has anointed me. He goes on and he says, it's me, 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 what I'm called to do and what God has told me to do, and it is upon me, not upon somebody else, upon me. Then he said, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing, verse 21. Friend, this is where we are prophetically. This is where we are at. This is what's happening to you. This is what's happening to me, Randy Chandler, whoever, whatever your name is tonight. This is what's happening to you, and you must begin to understand who, what, God, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you for what? Because he has anointed you for what? To preach the gospel of the poor. He has sent you to heal the brokenhearted. What's God sending you to do? You, you, you. It's about you. And you got to identify what God is doing with you, not everybody else. Thank God for what he's doing for them. You can prophesy, pray, preach, but what's God saying to you about you? It's not selfish and arrogant to say. If it would have been, Jesus would have been extremely arrogant here. It's all about me, me, me. Because that's what the scripture says in Isaiah. He didn't put that in there. That was already there. He just, that day, identified his personal self with that scripture, that scripture, the book was open, and it had his name in there, and his name is me. His name is me. Your Lord is upon me. If he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me, right? And that's what he was saying. He said, literally, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing today. And friend, this is what I've been, proclaiming to you, that God's called me personally, me, and the things he's called me to do. And I've known it for many years. And also PGN, our friends, our family, our people, what are you going to call us? Our little sheep, we're under shepherd Jesus, and he's our shepherd, and we're under him. And our little sheepfold, like they told David, go back to your little sheepfold and take care of your business. But David says, nah, today, me, 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 we're going to take him down. We're going to take him down, Goliath, and we're going to take Goliath down. Because I know who me is, and I know the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is not just upon anything, everything. He's upon me, and I identify that, and I know that. So I want everybody to say with me, I receive the Spirit of the Lord that is upon me, what he has anointed me to do. Say it, me. What he has sent me to do. Lord, I thank you for unlocking it into the earth realm. Now, God, what I've known for years in the spirit realm, and I've talked to a few people about, not very many, a couple people, a mistake that was. you know, now it's coming down to the earth realm, and the book is being opened, and now we are literally stepping into this, literally. Literally. All right. So get ready for that. All right. It's going to be really, really amazing, really, really awesome. And I'm so thankful you're with us. I'm so thankful you're part of this. And we're going to be talking to you tonight. So get ready. I'm going to take just a quick break. I'll be right back. And we'll be taking callers. So, all right. Get ready. Yes, I see 334 and 903. You guys, two people have their hands up. 334 has their hand up. And 903 have their hand up, and other than that, nobody else does. So we're going to talk to them first, and then go from there. All right, bye. I'll be right back. Let's take our first caller tonight. I think this is 334-590. I think it's Jayla. Is that you, Jayla?
Yes, it's me.
Okay, make sure to speak plainly into the phone, please, and that way we can make sure we can hear you really good. Don't hold your mouth away from you.
Make
sure
right
you speak
now.
Clearly, thank you. That's better, yeah. Make sure you speak very plainly, and we will appreciate that. Everybody can make sure to hear what you have to say, all right? Gonna mute you just a second there. There you go. Yeah, Jeannie has that song. I love that scripture. Yeah. Jeannie says, "For you shall go out with joy." Oh, you've been sick. Okay, that's what. Okay, no problems. I just thought maybe you didn't wonder where you were near your phone. So, okay, thank you for letting me know about that, Jayla. We understand. No problem. We're just turning our phones up a little bit more. I probably need to turn mine up a little bit more anyway. There we go. All right. Jeannie says, "I love that scripture, for you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." Jeannie goes, "I love that one." All right, Jeannie. That's really cool. Okay, Mike is saying, listening to Love Festival, yes. Was it Peter, form of warfare when Paul was in jail, what he did? Oh, yeah, very good point. Mike is making a point about form of warfare when Paul was in jail. What did he do? He worshiped, yeah. It was when he worshiped that the things fell off. That's very good. Like the chains couldn't hold him any longer, Mike. That's, I really like that. Peter or Paul, whoever it was, Peter, Paul, or Mary, whoever, we know is one of them. Loosening the Love Festival, yes, that's my heart. So seal is breaking tonight. Yeah, it's actually, I don't know if it's breaking tonight, but something like that. I mean, it's breaking. I can just say that, you know, the what I was trying to explain, Jay, just hang on a minute. We'll be right there with you, dear. Sorry. We are talking about, you know, how I've been called to the end times since the you know, maybe the 90s, maybe even before that, you know, before in the 80s, late 80s. God spoke to me about a lot of things, and I just kind of like tucked them in my heart and said, okay, you know, it sounds kind of big to me, it sounds kind of crazy to me. But, so literally we're now seeing those happen. So I've known those in the spirit for a long time, but they haven't been really manifest in the earth. So the book is being opened, and now it's being manifest in the earth. So seal, saying the seal is broken, it's probably a really good way to say it. I like the seal thing. Seal is being broken, or a book is being opened up, and the scripture is being read, and we're saying that this is actually happening. It's actually coming to pass now. That was kind of the main point that I was making, was that this is that. Peter said in the book of Acts, when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came, he said, "This is that." That was spoken of in the scripture. So, yeah. All right. Very, very cool. Right, right. Very good, very good. Okay. And I don't know if you can read people's text. Sometimes I miss them. As Paulette says, can you pray for, send a prayer for this young man that I know. His name is Travis. He was just sent to prison. He called just now under duress. You can hear in the background the guys that were going to attack him if we didn't send $250. My heart is just breaking for him right now. Going to attack you and send $250. What was going on? They were threatening. Send $250. So they had you on the phone, Paulette, and you can hear in the background the guys that were going to attack him if we didn't send him $250. Well, I hope you didn't send him the $250. This like sound like a threat in a setup. Wow, that's amazing. Well, okay, God, we just thank you for those demons being bound up. Maybe that's why I preached tonight about the demons being, you know, tormented. And but we just speak that those people. Be broken in the name of the Lord. And we break the spirit of threat and lies and manipulation and deception in Jesus' name. Let it be done right now by the name of Jesus. Take authority over that right now. All right, Paulette, I'm sorry I didn't read that earlier. I just now read that. Wow. I would never pay a terrorist. That's like a terrorist situation, in my opinion. Very difficult situation, though. That's a heartbreaking situation. So, wow, unbelievable. All right. Let's pray for Jayla. We thank you, Lord, for Jayla tonight. We thank you, Lord, for everything you're doing tonight. God, you speak over her body. I didn't know you were sick. I thank you, Lord, for your body tonight, that you pray over your body, that in Jesus' name God strengthens you and cleanses you and washes you from any virus or anything that's trying to go through your body right now. In Christ's name, let it be done. Amen, amen, amen. And thank you, Lord, for touching her tonight, God, and ministering to her by your Holy Spirit, bringing her peace, giving her joy, God, giving her an advocate. The Bible says we have an advocate for the Father, Jesus Christ, who stands and does his work of taking authority over things, speaking forgiveness over us. And I thank you, Lord, for the advocate in her life in Jesus' name to be made manifest, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Jayla, how are you doing tonight? You're not feeling well, huh?
No, I'm not. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's hard.
I was trying to tell you earlier that it was my voice that's gone.
Oh, I thought it's kind of phone's breaking up too. I thought, but it's just your voice is going. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I thought maybe you just didn't know your phone was breaking up or whatever. But that's not what it was. Sorry about that. All right. Wow. Well, we just take authority over that in the name of Jesus. We just plead the blood of Jesus over her lungs, over her chest area. In Jesus' name, I command that thing to be gone. I command it to be broken. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Lord, right now I thank you for the blood of the Lamb that breaks this thing up in her body right now. In the name of Jesus, we do battle, Father. We thank you for victory in the name of Jesus over her body, God. And right now we thank you, Lord, that we commune with you in Jesus' name and we eat your body right now. And we partake of you, Jesus, of your body tonight, your word. Of your word of healing. By your stripes we've been made healed.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be delivered. Hallelujah. Be at peace. I speak peace to your body, to your blood cells, to your cellular, the cellular part of your body in Jesus' name. That be at peace, be cleansed and washed by the blood of Jesus and be made whole. Be free from any kind of oppression in Jesus' name, and the invasion of her body be broken in Christ's name, and the anointing of peace and joy and freedom and rest in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Kayla, well, if you can. All right. Well, I'm glad you called in. Let's see what's going on. Anything else we can pray with you about, or what's up?
I have two prayer requests, if you don't mind. One for my friend Alicia, her dad. He has stomach cancer. And I feel like they got some bad news today. I haven't talked to her as of right now to know what is really going on. Excuse me. But I know her father has stomach cancer, so prayer for him. And I also want to get prayer for my friend Christian.
Oh, okay. Hang on a second. Okay, her father, stomach cancer. And what should the name of your friend is?
It's a separate person. It's not the same person as father, but my friend Christian.
Christian, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for your friend Christian. All right. All right, pray for Christian. All right, we're going to do that. All right. I'm going to mute you. Anything else you want to say before I mute you and move on after I pray for your friends here? Anything you want to say? Yeah. You're going to have a hard time talking.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I just received the prayer that you said earlier. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Jen. I appreciate it. Thank you for calling. Thank you, Lord. We pray for Alicia's father tonight, God, who got a bad news about stomach cancer. God, we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hopefully these people, you know, have the word of God inside them a little bit, somehow or another, where, you know, they can have something to believe with. We thank you, Lord, that we can speak for miracles in either way, whether people have faith or even have. Jesus healed a lot of people who had no faith. He healed many more who did have faith and who had never even heard of healing, you know, from in the way that he brought it. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that this man, wherever he's at, we just declare a miracle for him, God. We declare in Jesus' name he will receive the word of God. He will receive Jesus, the word of God, and whatever word of God is in him will come alive and bring healing and deliverance and salvation to him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. We refuse to receive any defeat of Satan. God, we pray that this man, Alicia's father, will walk in victory and understand that the word of God and also the practical things he can do in his body to free him of this cancer in Jesus' name. We know a lot of things now about natural things that have nothing to do with chemotherapy and all that mess that the doctors talk everybody into doing. They put fear on them, and then they tell them to get, you know, chemotherapy, and then they kill them the rest of the way, give them a few months to live, and they just finish them off. It's just the saddest thing I've ever seen. I've seen a lot of that lately. There's been a lot of it going on over the years. I pray, God, that he will stay away from that. In Jesus' name, he will walk in a place where he can get real help with that situation, Father, and help Alicia to influence him to get real help. And that chemotherapy is not God at all. In Jesus' name, not God at all. And so, so I pray that they'll find some other way to bring true healing to him. They'll get on their computers and they'll start praying, asking God to show them things. And God will show them answers of how to stop this thing in its tracks in Jesus' name. To the knowledge of Christ Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. We pray for Christian tonight. God, we thank you, Lord, for Christian, that Christian will develop his faith in you, God, and that Christian will begin to, understand that serving Jesus is not just for our own personal gain, but it is for the gain of others. When we become a servant, when we start serving and laying our lives down for others, then we start finding ourselves being favored by God. Thing Jesus said that if you become a servant, you become greatest of all. Greatness comes from serving. And I thank you, Lord, that Christian will begin to serve you and love you and become a servant, have a heart of a servant in Jesus' name, and begin to serve and find himself in a place where God can use him in a powerful way and found great satisfaction in the joy of being used by God using you for his glory. Nothing like it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. All right. 903-946. You want to talk to Refrain, please?
This is Janice Henderson.
Janice, where are you from? Janice, Texas?
I'm outside of Tulsa.
Okay, Janice. All right. Thank you, Janice. Let's pray for you. I'm going to meet you for a second there. And thank you, Lord, for Janice. We thank you, Lord, for her heart, God, to survive. And once you survive, then you want to overcome. We move from survival to overcoming. People sometimes give it a survival mode and just to survive. And then when they survive, then God gets a hold of them, and they move to the next level of overcoming and being more than a conqueror instead of just a survivor. Surviving is great. Overcoming is greater. And when we move past the victimization of the situations that have gone around, God, that we move past victimization into victory. And I thank you, Lord, that her life is being encompassed with that, with victory, 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 with overcoming victory, God, with conquering and more than a conqueror. And Jesus saying they're giving her a whole different mindset on how to develop a mindset of and a heart, not just a mind, but a heart of being more than a conqueror, not being a victim to anything, but being and being caught into that self-pity thing. Because the victimization thing ends up in self-pity and all that. And I've even been there personally in times of my life. It is. It's like a death sentence. And we thank you, Lord, that we will not yield to that, that my sister, God, is more than a conqueror, God, and you're putting it in her heart that you just don't want her to get through something, but to overcome it in great victory in Jesus' name, that she will not come short of the glory of God in her life, God. She's going for the glory realm. Not for just the, oh, I made it round, for the glory round, to give God glory in conquering these things in Jesus' name and walking past them and moving into new things, not just walking out of the old, but moving into the new, that she's moving into the new, God, right now in Jesus' name, moving into the new, literally right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. Now, what would you say your name is again?
Janice.
Oh, hi, Janice. All right, Janice, what's going on tonight? How are you and what's up and what can we pray with you about?
Well, your prayer was on target. I've been in a workman's comp situation with a torn meniscus in my knee. And for months I've had to wait until it was finally operated on the 28th of December. So.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
So everything you just prayed.
I'm
mending. I still have some physical therapy ahead of me. There's a little more to go through, but yes, I want. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, you just came, man. If you just got operated on, I mean, you still have some things going on there. But we'll be praying for you that happens. So you're in a situation that you say that the word of the Lord was, you know, kind of like talking about some of that. In what way?
It was. Everything was put off. The injury actually happened in 21, and they delayed it and delayed it and delayed it and delayed it, and finally it was approved, and I got the doctor that I decided that I needed through this, and praise God.
Well, that's awesome. That is awesome. Having the right doctor is everything,
yeah.
Right? It's like having the right kind of preacher. You have a preacher who's going to preach death over you, and you know, if it be God's will that we. Or somebody who knows that it's God's will. Yeah, that's really awesome.
Yes, yes.
So,
and God led me to the right
phase?
Doctors.
Like
huge. I said, there'll be physical
really
therapy, physical therapy, and to see how money does. And if it doesn't improve, there will be a knee replacement. So.
Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. So they go. Now, I've heard of people getting knee replacements. It's pretty cool. But, man, just, you know, yeah, God blessing it would be a lot more
yes.
fun, a lot less money,
yes.
you know, and be really great. So, yeah, we thank God for all the inventions that they have, but we also thank God for, you know, his intervention. And instead of the invention, we can have intervention, yeah. So,
thank you, Jesus. Thank
yeah.
you, Jesus.
Right.
Thank
so how
you,
would you
Jesus.
Like us to pray over that? Just pray that you, that
that God's
kind of
will be done and that I understand, you know, when the miracle happens.
Right.
That there's a peace that passes all understanding over all of it, and that my job is protected, or whatever God sees for me in the future, that I walk right into it, and we get past this. It's been a walk.
Oh,
a journey,
like
I guess.
I think what the victim thing could be, because when stuff gets delayed like that, that's pretty much can turn you into a victim real quick, I can imagine.
Well, they did, because they didn't keep me informed. I was just like out here. I was the one who was injured, but there were a lot of people who were playing, and I felt like a pawn in a game, actually. I did.
Well, I think there is a lot of games that are played out there. Yeah, sometimes if you don't do what they want you to do, they'll play a game with you.
Yeah, and all I could do was stand on the truth, which I did, and I prayed a whole lot to the Lord. And it was very uncomfortable, very uncomfortable. Not
right.
Praying to the Lord, but being in that situation.
Right. Well, sure, yeah. Right, right. All right, well, awesome. So we're going to pray that the victimization thing ends, where, you know, and that you'll be more than a conqueror and come through this thing. And of course, conquering could be a lot of different things. We don't know. I don't know exactly what that is, but either way, it's going to be God. God's going to get involved in it.
Thank you, Lord.
And going to help us separate it. Yeah. So that's kind of what I was, I mean, I didn't know your situation at all, as you know. And so when I pray with people,
I haven't talked to you in months.
Yeah. And not knowing anything at all, what's happening with you. I wasn't sure I was talking to you. You sounded familiar, but I've talked to a lot of people, so. All right.
It's probably been
over
a year since we spoke. So.
All right, yeah. So, awesome. Well, obviously he's going to, you know, bring some kind of intervention in there. So we thank you, Lord, for my sister tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for Janice, for intervening into her life, God. And like you just said before, I always go back to the word that I get before I, you know, really know anything about it, to know what's happening. That is, he's moving you from victimization and to turn inward to those things, which is what's happening when they don't treat you right. You don't know what else to do. You depend on them to, you know, do their job. And sometimes they do it, sometimes they don't. And so that's kind of difficult. And so thank you, Lord, that you're obviously the prayer, the prophetic word is that you're bringing her from that victim state to being more than a conqueror. And I thank you, Jesus, for that. And I thank you, Lord, for breathing into her spirit victory, God, that you're going to bring victory to her and overcoming power and the wonder of your grace, God, and the wonder of your love and the wonders of your mercies. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just seal this word tonight, God. We declare that to be done and nothing else but that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
All right, Janice, anything else that we can pray about? Or what's
just
going on?
Over my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, and that I continue to not be stagnant like we just prayed, and to move forward in what brings God glory, and that I know what I need to be doing. Right now, I've just been in this phase of just being here, and I'm ready to move forward. Just what we prayed for.
Right, right. Okay. Absolutely. Well, obviously, that's what God's doing. Because, I mean, I never know what I'm going to prophesy over people. I never know what's going to come out of my mouth. And so, obviously, that's why we know God's is speaking that stuff, because, you know, I don't have a clue what's going on. And so God is speaking to your situation.
I'm seriously going, wow, while you were praying. I'm feeling blessed.
Well, that's how Jesus.
I'm ready to hear what the Lord has to say. And I was like, well, this is so close. It is exactly what it's been like.
Wow, Jesus knows,
thank you,
and Jesus loves you, and Jesus cares, and it's all about Jesus and what he's done on the cross. And he loves to bring forth his people. Yeah, he brings forth in a lot of different ways. You never know exactly how he's going to do it. I don't ever narrow him down to one thing. He can do it however he wants to, and we'll give him the glory for it. So, wow, awesome. Okay, thank you very much for letting me know, Janice, how you're doing, and thanks for letting me pray over you. And I believe in God that his word spoken over you tonight is going to hang on to that, use that to fight your battle, Timothy, mm-hmm. I think it's in 1 Timothy 1:16, 1:18. It says that Paul the Apostle tells Timothy, his favorite disciple, really. He tells him, he said, get the prophecies that have been prophesied over you, meditate on them, and, you know, dwell on them, because they're going to help you fight the fight. And I've never heard that before until I started teaching a couple of years ago, but where he literally says, get the prophecies. He didn't say get the Bible. He already told him to get the Bible. The Bible is always important. That's the first thing we look at. But then he says, you know, get the prophecies that have been spoken over you, and you'll fight a good fight with that. Are you familiar with that scripture?
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Victory.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, exactly. So meditate on that, and as God gives it to you. All right, Janice, thank you very much. Anything else?
Just pray over my children and my grandchildren and great-grandchildren. That would be nice.
All right, I'll do that. Okay, thank you. I'm going to meet you, and we'll pray over that. We thank the Lord for her children. We thank for her seed, God. God, you said you blessed the seed. You know, our seed, when we're born again and we're have heaven inside of us and the glory of God inside, the Holy Spirit inside of us, and we have fellowship with the Father and we have family. God is a big, 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 big fan. He's the one who made family. How can we say he's more than a big family person? He is the family person, right? He's the one who created all of it. And we thank you, Lord, that we just trust you, Jesus, that the family God that we have that made families, that made a man and a woman, made a male and a female, so a male and a female could come together and have family, have baby dolls and have children, have grandchildren. We thank you, Lord, that you're so involved in that. We bless them with the God kind of family, the God kind of family blessing on them, God, to bless them, to remove anything, any type of rebellion that would cause them to turn against you, God, that you're a good God. The devil lies to people and tells them that God's not a good God. God is a good God. Even if he doesn't do what we want always, we always find out later that even though we got mad at God, I was talking last night about how I used to get mad at God, and I wanted you to do that, and they went the other direction. What's wrong? What am I to, you know, God, you don't really care about me, you know? So until I found out he was saving me, he was being good to me, even when I didn't think he was being good to me, because he was saving my life from some disastrous situations. And here I was complaining, you don't love me, you don't like me, God, what's wrong with you? How come I'm asking, praying, but you're not answering, so you're not listening? What's up? And the whole time, he was a good God and saving my life from a lot of extra pain and heartache. Wow, God is a good God. We thank you, Lord, for the good God working in their behalf, God, in Jesus' name, in their lives. Let it be done. Bless them. Bless them good, Jesus. Amen. Raise them up to be used as servants of God. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Let's go to 803-991. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, Rachel. Angela, South Carolina.
Hey, Angela. All right. Let's pray for Angela. Good to have you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of freedom, God, and Angela. God, freeing her financially, freeing her emotionally, freeing her mentally, freeing her from any, you know, fears of any kind, God, anything that religious fears, any bondages that, you know, we all have things that are not perfect yet. So anything that's not perfected, God is perfecting. And may God is perfecting you. He is perfecting you. You know, we get, you know, tuned up and tuned in, and then he perfects it. He fine-tunes it so well that we're just like, you know, find ourselves walking with God. We don't even know how close we're walking with God until all of a sudden, boom, 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 this happens and that happens. And God brings a breakthrough, and God starts doing things that we're just not expecting, and all of a sudden, like, you know, God is perfecting you. He's perfecting your walk. He's perfecting you. Perfecting means he's making it better. It's already good, but making it better and better and better. And we thank you, Lord, you're perfecting and finishing. And what you started with her, God, you're going to complete it. Every bit of it, God. There's going to be one thing undone in Angela's life, God, in Jesus' name. You're going to bring it to perfection, total perfection. That's the goal we have. It's perfection in God. God's image of perfection, not ours, but God's. Amen. All right. All right, Angela, what's going on down there, over there, up there, where you're at?
Not a whole lot. That's confirmation. That's why I've been asking him to, you know, remove any evilness out of me, anything that's not righteousness, you know. So that's exactly what I've been praying and asking for.
Me too.
With a walk. Yeah, so that's information. Thank you for that, Prophet Randy. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, not a lot,
cool,
whole lot
cool.
going on here.
Just yeah. Trying to what?
Oh, yeah, just trying to figure out what day, should I wear a coat or should I wear a short-sleeve shirt to work? Somebody, the weather changes up so much. I don't know if it's summertime or wintertime, but
right.
I am in the South.
Yeah,
yeah,
you're going to have to carry an extra shirt with you on a hanger or something inside the vehicle, something
right.
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if it changes on you. Yeah, it's been absolutely beautiful here in Texas, man. I mean, you know, I went out, I walk most of the time before the show, you know, for about 20 minutes I go out and do a fast walk. And man, the weather tonight was so beautiful, I couldn't believe it. I had my shorts on.
Yeah.
You know, T-shirt on, and just, it was just absolutely beautiful. The same way there?
It was today. It was really nice today. Yes. Wasn't that cold?
Yeah, I love it.
Quite pleasant. Yeah. We have some cold days,
so
too.
What's happening?
Well, what it's going to be tomorrow, but I think it's going to rain actually Thursday, but I'm off Thursday, so it'll work.
Yeah, so how's... So what's the Lord speak anything to you in particular? Are you just kind of like in limbo zone right now, or what's going on?
Well, your message tonight about worshiping and how Lucifer was a worshiper and how God created, because actually I'm writing something similar to what your message was about tonight, about when God created the universe, how Lucifer was there with him. I think he preached the message before, and he was an angel around the throne of God, and God and Jesus knew he was going to betray him pretty much, kind of like Judas did Jesus, but Lucifer didn't know. And like you were saying, when he created, because I used to ask God, why? How is it that Lucifer is almost just as powerful as God is, but of course God has all power, but now it makes sense because he was there with God in the beginning, but then he turned away, and he still had power, but he doesn't have all power because he was like God's angel. Like you say, he created the trees with singing, us with singing, the rocks, the water, the clouds, everything was done with music. That's pretty amazing. That was quite interesting to hear that.
That's pretty cool, isn't it, when you think about it? I just love that. I don't know why that hit me maybe today or yesterday. I can't remember. I just wrote it down. I'm not going to forget to talk about that. The Lord just, you know, he'll give me a thought about something, and I get really excited about it. And,
mm-hmm.
he's, you know, like he wants to share that with his people, so that's kind of what we try to do. But, yeah, it just makes sense with, you know, even evil music, what evil music does and how that moves
right.
and does stuff. Because Satan knows, you know, God created everything. He created Lucifer. Everything, God, the reason God's always all-powerful is because he created everything that there is. Angels, every angel, everything, he created them. So they're there because he created them. So he'll always be more powerful than anything because he created all of it, you know, but
right.
as you know that, but, you know, to how Lucifer was used, you know, to help, you know, God, you know, back him up in a sense of with backup music. You know how these preachers, some of these great preachers, man, that preach over the years, they get the preaching, man, they get music behind them, and they just take off. It's like going, woo, wow, it's amazing.
Right,
and
backup
some
singers.
People are really gifted, like, huh?
I say backup singers, what they call them on stage when you go to a concert, they have the backup singers that are behind the main singer. Call them backup singers.
Yeah, and we wonder where that comes from. I mean, that came from God. God started that. That was a God thing. So when
right.
you think about that, and when God said, you know, he created the dirt, which is what people were created out of, you know, when he made the dirt, you know, and the earth was made of a lot of dirt, a lot of water, a lot of dirt. And it was, you know, it was created with music. So that's why the hills and the mountains, you know, dance and move
right.
because it's just.
Oh, actually, I think
yeah.
the music. She said the hills are alive with music. I remember that one line in that song she was singing. What was her name?
Yeah.
I see her face. Yeah, she said the hills are alive with
either,
music. Sound the music.
Right.
But yeah. So that's pretty neat. I never knew that you know. Oh, actually, there was a guy who did a. I don't know what you call it, some type of project where he took some type of wire and he attached it to, like, trees and plants. And he was like, I want to show you how the trees sing and the flower scene.
Oh.
He attached his device to the plant and the trees, and you could hear the sound of the plant singing. You can't hear with your human ears, but he had his device where he could.
Really?
He actually hear. I remember that. Now,
where
now
did you see that at?
Talking about this.
Is that a, like a YouTube thing, or where did you find that at?
It might have been YouTube. It's been probably about maybe a year or so ago. Yeah, I remember that now. Yeah, it was he took a little. It looks like a little. It wasn't a big device, and it had a wire, like he would clip, like a little clip on the end of it, and he attached it to the plant, and then he attached it to the trees, and he was like, I want you to listen. I'm telling you all the plants, they sing, and the trees sing. And sure enough, when he put the little wire on the plant and stuff, you could hear
uh-huh.
it sound. You could hear. I was like, wow. Wow. Okay.
Wow, that is awesome.
Yeah.
I've never seen that. I would love to see that. I would love to hear how he came up with that. That's
really
awesome.
I don't know if it's on YouTube. It's not where I saw it, but yeah, I remember that.
I'll have to look at that. Yeah, I've talked about this before. It's been a few years ago. I talked about this, you know, several years ago about that, but it's like today, you know, it just kind of got renewed in me, and the Lord just said, I don't even know. What you know, with the prophetic with me, what works with me is that, you know, I'm kind of more of a spontaneous prophetic person, and so, you know, what God does with me, sometimes he'll give me information during a show, sometimes a little bit before the show, sometimes I have a message I've had for a year, and he'll say, I want you to pull that out, and I want you to do that one, and I'm going like, what? And he said, yeah, talk about this, and so I'll talk about it, and it'll be something that, you know, somebody's into or getting involved in or something, and so, you know, it's so amazing how that he has a purpose in every word that he gives. When you're truly flowing in the Spirit, which we are trying to learn how to do. When you flow in that, the reasons that he has us do things, you never know what that reason is. It could be for one person, or it could be for a million people. He doesn't really care. He'll move everything. He'll stop. He stopped me in the middle of messages for one person to tell him a message completely off what I was beyond it. And it just shows you, Angela, the love of God. That's why I love to prophesy to individuals, because it's Jesus Christ through his servants, through me, and through those who prophesy. It's Jesus speaking to them personally. And I'm telling you, girl, there is not anything that thrills him more than that, is speaking to one person. So, yeah it's – anyway.
That's awesome. Cause that's funny, because I've been trying to find me a microphone for the past couple of weeks, but I did find something on Amazon. It's like, cause I like to sing. I mean, I sing by myself. No one's around when I sing, but I love to sing. So I've been all past couple of weeks, I've been trying to find me a little system on Amazon that hooks up to the microphone, and I can actually hear what I sound like singing. But so that's funny. I hear your message tonight about God sings, and Lucifer was a singer, and how he, you know, was there when, you know, God was creating the universe, and he was a singer, you know, along with the Lord. He had a beautiful sound, I guess, you know. So,
yeah, it just makes sense when you see preachers who really just, you know, especially those that are gifted in that area, and they're preachers too. You know, we think that they just kind of came up with that, but that's a direct thing that God did, you know. God prophesying or speaking things into existence with the backups, you know, and God says, and let there be light. And in the background music, people go with these beautiful voices, go, and let there be light, you know, and like, it kind of gets into the thing that's being created. You know, it's like a mixture. And tonight I never had used the word mixture before. That was what was new about tonight. The Lord said, tell them it's a mixture. It's part of the mixture, like in the anointing oil in the tabernacle, when they had it, God had a special mixture of oils, as I'm sure you're familiar with, and other things, where he said, don't use that oil for anything else. That's only made for the, you know, so there's certain mixtures of things that God has done. And when you realize that worship, that music and the word, everything that was created with the mixture of that, it helps you understand a lot of things.
Right. Yeah, that's amazing. Amazing. Very interesting.
I and like people who can't even sing.
I didn't hear you.
Go ahead. Similar what?
Oh, I thought you were saying something.
No. Go ahead. You were saying something similar to what?
Oh, yeah. What, exactly what you were saying tonight. That's what I'm writing, kind of like of a skit, but I'm writing about, the title is like God and Lucifer were friends in the beginning. And that's kind of, it goes from there as far as talking about the creation, how you create everything, and how you were saying tonight, like Lucifer was a singer. He was God. He's a chief musician of music. So I'm writing kind of like a story, a little short story, so to speak, maybe, about the heavens when he created it and how Lucifer and how he failed and all that stuff. But it's going to be like come out my own kind of spin on it, so to speak.
Oh, cool.
And how Lucifer lost his place. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I think in my
like
personal
more insight
opinion
to go
is
how to write it to what you're saying. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I am surely available and right now. Let's work on that right now. What do you say? No, you know, one of the things I think about is, in all seriousness, is that what exalted him was that you got to. This is what I picture in my mind, and I've talked about this, you know, 2-3 years ago. I remember when God first showed it to me. But how that the picture in my mind was that God was, you know, getting ready. He had a plan. He had a plan. God's a planner. He planned it all out. He knew exactly what he was going to do. And so he began to, you know, create it. And so as he's creating it, you know, there's nothing. There's really nothing out there. There's no universe. There's no anything. And he's starting to create from nothing. I mean, nothing. There's nothing. This is what I picture in my mind. Except the angels, Lucifer and God, and, of course, Father, Son, you know, the Spirit, the Word, you know, and the Father. And he's sitting there, and there's nothing out there, right? Well, you know, he makes the plan out, and then all of a sudden God, you know, said, okay, Lucifer, get ready because we're going to go to work. What I've created you for. Do you know what I've created you for? He goes, yes, Master, to back you up with whatever you do. I'm in back of you. I'm going to back you up. He said, okay, are you ready? He said, I'm ready, sir. And he, you know, gets his organs ready and his musicians and all of his people and all of his angels and all the angels that God had created and that Lucifer's kind of running. And God says, you know, let there be the universe. And all of a sudden, you know, for multiple millions of miles, there's, you know, and let them be placed in their place in perfect array. And all of a sudden, all these planets for hundreds and thousands of planets are created. And they're in a circular thing. And some of them, you know, around the sun. And some of them, and Lucifer is like watching this thing being created. And he's the one backing God up with this. So he starts thinking, I personally think that how he got exalted, well, he's like going, God, now, you know what? Everything's been created. You know what? And there's a couple of things you want to create. Well, I'm not going to work with you on that. We'll just see what you can do without me. You know, because he got so used to God creating everything that he created, everything, with his backup musicians, Lucifer and his crew. And and Lucifer goes, okay, guys, on this one we're not going to sing. We're not going to do anything. Let's see what God can do without us. Well, you know, of course, God can do anything, right? He can sing himself if he wants to, right? So Lucifer says he gets exalted, and God says, well, then you're of no value to me. And so, you know, he cast him down. So that's kind of my image of that, whole scenario.
Yeah, I'm looking up. You even gave me some material. Yeah, that's quite interesting, because that's funny you said that, because the way I was thinking was, that Lucifer, like you said, they were both working together, and Lucifer saw how great God was doing such a great job, and how he began to study God, watching God do what he do, and that's when he became jealous, and he decided, I can do it better. In my mind, that's the way I'm editing the story. Like, in his mind, he's thinking, I could do it. He's doing that. I believe I could match him. Like a competition thing. The way I thought about it. And that's when he became exalting himself and trying to feel like, you know, I'll get my own gang. I'll get my own posse, so to speak. And we'll do this thing my way.
Right, right.
You know?
Very good. So, very good,
yeah.
I love that.
And that's
love
interesting.
It. Yeah.
You give me some material to write up. I'm going to steal some of that from
you. Because
I never thought about the thousands of planets. I never thought about that. Because in school we were taught there were only 7 planets. That's what we learned in school all my life. You know, Mercury, Pluto, Saturn, Neptune, Mercury. What's the other one? Venus. You know, I never knew there were more than seven planets. You know, but now I know there are.
You know,
like you just said.
Thousands. Yeah, the whole universe. The whole universe is full
right.
filled with, you know, all that.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I know everything about it, but you know, when you picture in your mind whether he was making, you know, millions of miles worth of universes or one, either way, you know, he's watching this massive event go on, and it happens as he's singing. So he starts thinking, you know, okay, so God and I are working together on this thing, so we're a team. So without me, he can't really do this. So I want a pay raise. I want some more power. I want some more authority. I want some more.
Right.
I want some more praise to me. I want him to. How come God's not praising me for this? How come God's not thanking me for this? You know what I'm saying? And so he just kind of like, well, you know, you don't really value me. You don't really appreciate me. So I'm just gonna like do my own thing. And God says, well, that's it for you, bud. You know, and he was out.
Right.
Something like that. You know. But yeah,
right.
It's sounds like you got a lot going on there with that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I got a couple different things I'm writing, but yeah, that's another one. I got like three or four different things in my mind that my deal is to get me. I write them down, and but yeah, that's one of them. Sure, and it starts out like they're friends in the beginning. You know, that's how friendship starts in the beginning. Then you get that envy, that jealousy that breaks up the friendship, and that's a forever eternally friendship that's been lost. So, but yeah, I'm interested to see how it's gonna go, but I know how it goes, but. The way I'm going to write it, like you just said, you get a little bit more material.
However God
does
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, put your own spin on it, your own flavor. That's what makes it unique and beautiful is you put your own spin and flavor on it. I have mine, but mine's not all that.
Right.
You know, I just kind of got little bits and pieces of it. But that is so awesome, girl. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's got to get it done. It shouldn't take me that long once I just sit down and really focus. But got it. Somebody
I've done the same thing. I've written movie. I have a movie that I've, I call it a short movie. You know, some things that went on, and with the woman who had the widow with the widow's mite. You know, I have a little thing, a little skit that I have for the widow's mite, and a story about her life. And I wrote a little story about when she was a child, how her father. You know, was so close. Her and her daddy were so close, and they lived out in a beautiful vineyard. Had a beautiful vineyard. They were pretty well off. You know, they had a lot. They had cattle and sheep and, you know, animals. And she just loved her daddy, and her daddy loved her. And he'd always give her, you know, little coins. You know, fathers give you. You know, give you a quarter, give you a dollar, or whatever they give you.
Mm-hmm.
$5 or something.
Right.
And you can go spend it. You can go spend it on whatever you want to. Well, you know, this is about the widow's mite. You know, the one who Jesus said when she shows up and gives her two mites, he said, this woman's given more than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And she's more blessed than all the rest of them. Yeah. So I write a story about her and her childhood. And when her father gave her that money, he would say, go, honey, go buy you something, honey. And she would be on her way doing whatever she's going down the road, going to town. And some poor people would be, you know, driving down the road and have some kind of thing going on and would need some money. And she would just give the money to them. And so she did that all of her life. And her daddy finally asked her one time, she says, honey, what did you do with your money? What'd you buy with your money? I don't see anything. He said, well, daddy, you know, and said, I didn't want to tell you, but, you know, the people down, you know, and she would tell these stories up to her daddy, how that she gave the money to these people who needed it for certain things. And so that's kind of the way she grew up. She grew up with that. And her father was kind of an alcoholic. He liked to gamble, and he drank and gambled. And though he was a good man, he was a good family man, but he had a problem with gambling. Well, he gambled away the property, this beautiful vineyard and this beautiful house. And so many years later, after Jesus sees her at the temple and she's given it to mice, you know, her father had lost that property a long time ago. Mm-hmm. She was a child, and they had to move out and move to another, you know, and her father ended up dying. And, you know, so long story short, I'm like, you're writing these stories. And so she leaves after Jesus tells her her mites were more than anybody, and God was going to bless her. Right? She said, God's going to, you're going to be a blessing. They're going to talk about you. So she goes. She didn't have a job. So one of her friends runs up to her after she gives that money to the king. And Jesus says that, makes that announcement about her. She's walking away. And one of her friends gets up and says, oh, there's a man who needs somebody to help take care of him. Can you do it? She says, yeah, I need a job bad. So she goes and takes care of this guy. Long story short, she takes care of this guy. This guy was mean. He was cruel. He was an old bitter person, you know, who his pain, his, he was in bed. He was in bed. He needed medical help, and the medical doctors weren't helping him. And, you know, he just wasn't making it. And then one day he had made fun of her and mocked her and just everything. And so she kept telling him, she said, there's a guy named Jesus, and he's up on the hill today, not far from here. I'm going to get my friends. We're going to take you. We're going to see if God can heal. Nobody's going to heal me. I don't believe in God. God doesn't do that kind of thing. And he was, you know, nasty. She said, no, I'm going to get my. So she got her friends together. They take him up there against his will. He's kind of whining and complaining the whole time. Well, he gets up there, and sure enough, Jesus sees her, and he walks over toward her. He said, hi, you're the widow, you know, had to get into two months. God bless you. He said, who is this? He said, oh, this is one of my friends. And we wonder if you could heal him, Jesus. And Jesus goes, sure. And he's sitting there looking at him with his arms folded, you know, like, this is, I'm not receiving any of this stuff. And she says, Jesus, please heal him. He needs, and so he gets miraculously healed, right? Gets up off his bed. And as they're walking back and they're talking about it, they can't believe it, they go back to the house and they fall in love. Long story short, they fall in love. Well, one day after they fell in love, they get married, right? And so, because he just loved her after that. He just thought she was the most beautiful thing in the whole world. Like, you just saved my life, and I love you. And she didn't know it, but he had, you know, some money. So they were out. He said, come on, honey. They get started in the car. They didn't have cars back then. They get in their little, you know, whatever. They get on the horses, and they take off in the little carriage. And he's right. She says to him, where are we going, honey? Well, we're going out to this place that I have that I'm fixing to move everything out here. Now that my body's healed and I can do things, we're going to move out. So they're riding out to this place, and she says, man, this looks really familiar. And he pulls up right to that ranch that her father had lost to him and to his father when she was a child. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and all of a sudden she goes, you what? You own this? And she started telling him, my father lost this to, she said, yeah, your father. Oh, that's your father? Your father is so-and-so, so-and-so? Yeah, my father beat him in a gambling night, one night in gambling, and won this whole thing from him. She says, yeah, so you're the one that he wanted. She said, no, my father. She said, well, I own it, and now it's all yours.
Wow.
And I wrote that. That's the story about the widow's mite that from Randy Chandler.
Wow. Creative writer.
A long story short. Huh?
That's cool. Very interesting. Came full circle.
Full circle, yeah. That was the beauty of it, is that it came full circle. And so it's one of the most, you know, I wrote that probably 5 years ago, but I'm like you. I just started writing things down and looking at things, and, you know, and pretty soon I came up, you know, I got that story about the widow's mite, because I love that story about the widow's mite.
Yeah, that is a good one. Everyone was giving big dollars, but she only had two mites, I think it was, and I think someone asked Jesus who put the most in, and everyone was throwing their money in the pot, and Jesus said this woman with the two mites put the most in, and they said because she gave all she had.
Right, mm-hmm. She gave up her living. Yeah, in other words, her money that she lived on, she was giving that to God. And Jesus saw that and recognized it and said, you're giving more than all the rest of these people.
Right.
And she was like going, what? Yeah, and so I took that and wrote my own little version of what I thought happened, you know. Yeah, so after she leaves the meeting,
that's pretty good.
I just told her that. Yeah, so anyway, pretty cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
You have a writer's pen also.
Yeah. Huh? Good. I think they would make a great story. It could make a great short, a little movie, you know, even.
Yeah, that's
the people that love.
I remember the station here that seemed like something that would show on one of the Christian stations. They used to have little movies like that, little movies they would show on the weekends. Sound like what you wrote, something like that would be on the skit like that. It would show on weekends, little movies but it'd be based on biblical principles. That it would be, you know, and they're not airing it anymore in a while, so I don't know what happened with it, but pretty interesting.
Yeah, yep. And it's just, you know, it's a love story. It's a story about how a woman who just loved to give from the time she was a child, you know, and how you know, one day at the temple, Jesus just happened to be there and watched her put her money in there, you know, I mean, and then it ends up the guy that she helped bring to one of his meetings and got him healed, even though he whined and complained all the way and said he was really bitter and, you know, just crippled. He was crippled. He couldn't walk. He couldn't do anything.
Right.
And then when she healed up, he falls in love with her. He kind of liked her anyway, but I just gave a short version of the story. He kind of liked her anyway.
Yeah.
He was just like, he would whine and complain, you know, no, don't do that. No, I told you not to do it. You know, he would holler at her and she would just be humble and sweet and, you know, and serve him anyway. So he kind of like started liking her, you know, and eventually when she takes him to Jesus to get healed, you know, then he just falls in love with her. And of course, she loved him already anyway, but just as a human being. And then,
and then they
go out riding one day because now that he can walk and is healthy, he can, you know, go back to the vineyard and do the work. And he loved being out on the farm, out of the ranch and stuff. But, so anyway, so they were out there and she realized this is my daddy's farm that he lost. And so what Jesus told her literally came to pass. She got very blessed.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah.
That's a neat story.
And I prophesy that over people tonight in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, I receive that. I receive it for myself.
Yeah, I speak that over people tonight, God. Things that have been lost in families. Hang on just a second. I'll be right back.
Okay.
All right, Lord, tonight we just speak that over. Angela and I come into agreement tonight, Lord. I speak it over her, and I speak it over her, over those listening tonight. And I've done this before. Used this thing that we're talking about tonight and prophesied it before and had some things go on some people. So I all of a sudden tonight, you know, I'm wanting to share this again. And I shared it again, the whole thing, because there's something about sharing the whole thing that God showed me. That brings, you know, people and listening to PGN right now, and people that will archive this, and people that aren't even part of PGN that are listening to our shows, that are hidden out there and don't want anybody to know they're listening. I speak over your life tonight, whoever you are tonight, in Jesus' name. That whatever's been lost in your family, whatever's been gambled away, whatever's been stolen from you, from your family, and you don't even know it. You don't even know it's been stolen. You don't even know. They killed the people that would tell, so nobody ever knew exactly what happened. Just something weird went on, and there's been a lot of losses of property and land and houses and homes and family members and people. And I'm praying over you tonight that in Jesus' name, if you love God like this widow who loved God and just love to give to God, love to help God, love to be she was a servant of God from childhood. God, I thank you in Jesus' name that all those people tonight that have lost things and people have, you know, maybe their mother and father would like this guy. They gambled and lost stuff. Before they got saved, maybe they got saved later. Maybe they died. Who knows what they went on. And the things got robbed from them, their inheritance. God, I'm declaring, decreeing tonight that all that be restored in Jesus' name. All of it be restored in the name of Jesus. Let it be done. Everything robbed, stolen, taken from them without even them knowing it. In Jesus' name, be restored in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Man, I agree.
Wow.
Thank you for that prayer.
Man. Something's happening right now. I feel something going on in somebody's body right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I declare and decree over you tonight that you are healed, that you are delivered, you are set free in Jesus' name. You are a child of God. God restoring you. He's rebuilding you. In Jesus' name, he's taken down everything that's tried to destroy you. In Jesus' name, and you're going to live and not die and declare the glory of God. Satan's not going to rob from you, steal from you, take from you. In Jesus' name, you are free in Jesus' name. I loosen you tonight in Jesus' name to receive the glory of the Father, what belongs to you, what always has belonged to you, but you didn't know it's been hidden. The things that have been hidden even from the foundation of the earth. I gave that word a couple of weeks, maybe last week or was it this week? I can't remember. about the things being revealed from the that have been hidden from the foundations of the earth. And that's all kinds of things. It's not just prophetic things. It's things that people have lost, things have been stolen from generation to generation that God's going to restore and bring back to you in Jesus' name, even if it was in another country. Even if it was in another country. Even if the country stole all the land and took all the land, the government took all the land of everything, and nobody owned anything. God's going to somehow replace that for you in Jesus' name. I declare and decree it right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I feel that going down my spinal cord a little bit there.
Man, I agree with that. Hallelujah.
Well, you Lord. Better.
Ooh, I do.
I know you would. All right. Very interesting. And it's so cool that you're writing and doing that stuff. I love that. That's you got to work that creativity. Even if, you know, some of the stuff I've done and written, it wasn't that it mattered whether it got out there or made anything always. Sometimes it's just the fact that God used those things to get my creativity. He uses things that we enjoy doing to stir up your creativity. Your creativity is not just for writing or for painting or for drawing pictures, you know, and doing art, but it is for, you know, creativity. When you develop your creativity and you activate it in many different ways, you're going to find it's going to happen in the gifts of God. The gifts of God are that they work from the creativity of God Almighty. In the creativity realm, because they're to create, to make a way where there seems to be no way, to create a way, to make a way, to make things, to give people faith, to give people hope. You know, it's the creative realm. So when you're working your gift, whether it's drawing a picture or writing a story, and I'm writing stories, I'm writing, what am I doing? I'm developing my creativity. I'm developing it, developing. You know, that and I may not ever do anything with that. But you know what? It did. It helped develop my prophetic gifting. Yeah, so that I could, you know, let the creative power of God use me to speak over people's lives and to create, develop something in them that would not have ever happened had it not been for the word of the Lord.
Thank you so much, Prophet Randy. You've inspired me tonight.
Right.
Give me a little bit more input to put in my writing. We're sharing your information. Yeah. Thank God
Absolutely,
for that.
Absolutely, my information.
Right, activate your creativity. I plan to do some things with some of the stuff I've written. But, I don't want all of it just sit here and just collect it for myself, you know. But,
Yeah, you should. And I'm hoping to do something with mine someday. But I've got so much stuff going on that maybe when the right time happens, it'll all develop. But,
you'll have
there's so much going on right now. It's wonderful, exciting, but it's a whole lot happening. So,
you have a lot going on.
Yeah.
I don't know how much as you have going on, so I actually have time to write. I do. I feel it's creative, but sometimes I'll make myself write. It just depends on what mood I'm in sometimes. But some days it'll flow, and some days it's like brainstorming. You can't get anything to line up the way you want it to, but that's all part of the process.
It's part of the process. Yeah, you got to work it. You got to work it. And okay. All right. Awesome, girl.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much. All right. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Okay. Let's go here and talk to Jeannie for a second. I know Jeannie has something to say about that, about her and Hollis.
Hi. How you doing tonight?
Hey, you know, I didn't know you were on. I down and saw you there, and I know you responded earlier about the scripture. I didn't even see that until later on the show, but when I saw that, I, of course, read it, and there's something about that. But you know, I know when I saw you on just a moment ago, I told my little movie that I wrote about the the widow's mite, and I don't know if you ever hear that or not, but I remember one night you were on before, and you said something about that with somebody, your family members or something.
Yeah, when you excuse me, when you were telling that story is almost exactly, not the getting married part, but that's the story of Hollis's grandmother. See, his grandmother was Cherokee Indian, and she grew up in Oklahoma on the reservation. Well, the state back then, you know, they would deed so much acreage to each member, you know, each Indian person. They all, you know, the state deeded them so much land. Well, his grandmother, okay, when she was a girl, the land that was proportioned to her ended up having getting a bunch of oil wells on it. And so in big producing wells. So here she was a little girl or a young girl, and the land she got was producing oil wells. Well, she got to actually go to like some kind of fancy boarding school because of the well she had. But because she was underage, her father, who was an alcoholic and a gambler, he had a power of attorney over her things because she was not yet old enough for it to be in her name. So she was at boarding school, and honestly he one night was in a gambling game and drunk and I guess run out of money, and he took her deeds to her land that had all the wells on it and put it in the game and lost it. And the man that ended up eventually with all of her land and those oil wells later became the governor of Oklahoma. Well, she ended up having to come home from boarding school because, you know, she had no money anymore. But see, his grandmother, she only had two children, which was Hollis's mother and Hollis's uncle. Those wells produced for years and years, so there were not many heirs there. Hollis and his family would have been wealthy people had her dad not have gambled away that land and with all the oil wells on it.
Well, you think there would be some kind of a legal thing that they could do, I guess, but if he had legal authority over that, I guess that's what made it.
Nowadays that would not happen. But back then, you know, there weren't laws and all to protect stuff like that, particularly where the Indians were concerned. But, you know, nowadays you would have legal recourse against something like that, but you didn't have back then.
You would think, that's quite a while. That's quite a few years ago with his grandmother.
Yeah, that would have been, gosh, I don't know how many years ago, because she was like 18, 17 or 18 when he lost it, gambled it away, and she would be over 100 years old now, so if she were still alive. Well, she'd be up in her hundreds, I guess. But she would have been over 100 years old now had she still been alive.
Wow. And that's his.
Yeah.
And she was a girl. That's like, you think there would be something they could go back and try to, if you could find an attorney who could work that, they might. It seems like they would, with all the injustice, all the things they have going on with the Indian tribes and all this stuff, I don't know, it seems like there may be some kind of way to go back in there and do something with that. I don't know. That sounds
like... I know,
like,
I had wondered that too, but the flip side is, like I said, the man that actually ended up with that property later became the governor of Oklahoma. So you also would not be fighting just anybody. You'd be fighting somebody that has a lot of pull and has a lot of means to fight back.
Right. But also, those people get a lot of enemies. It's just like you got
–
let's look at – I don't even know why we're talking about this tonight, but I remember – don't let me forget to talk about Bill Clinton. Don't let me forget to talk about this. I'm going to go a little sidetrack here. And so you know, I remember when I first told this story, what, 2 years ago? I remember when it was when I told the story. You came on and you said, Randy, you're not going to believe this. And then you told me what you just told me just now. I'm going like, what? You know, and I was telling the movie on the show that night, like I just told it with Angela. And you said, Rand, you know, I'm going, what? And here it comes back again, you know, and I know you don't always get to listen to the show. You got things going on. But you just happen to be on tonight, Jeannie, when this is going. I don't know what this means. I don't know if God can bring back, just like the widow, just like the widow's night girl, lady, what Jesus, you know, said, you know, you're blessed because you're a giver. And you gave out of your giving. You get out of your living. You give out of your living. And so, you know, he was telling her, you really have a heart for God. And so God's going to restore. So that's why I wrote that story. That's why I believe God gave me that story, was to tell people that, you know, even if it's not going, even if she hadn't married him after she got him, took him to Jesus' meeting, got him healed, and they fall in love, get married, and they go back and they find out that it was his father that won the gambling thing that night. And, you know, I mean, just think about that, how that lines up even with your story, with your, your Hollis, all that. I mean, think about how a lot of that just lines up with that. And you know, I just made that up. I mean, I just came up with that as I'm, you know, having time to write and think, and I let my creativity go. And then how the story so closely fits you, it doesn't mean that so much that God's going to give back that particular land, although I think it's highly possible, like in the story, somehow or another, it could happen that, let's just say that y'all had children. I'm just using this as an example, and you had children, and one of your children, you just say your daughter fell in love, didn't know it, but fell in love with some guy. And she gets married to him and comes to find out that all that property that has oil on it, you know, that your daughter just married the guy, great grandson, who still owns that property and still has those oil wells. You know what I'm saying? It's like things like that can happen, you know. And I think that's why God gave me that story, and I wrote it the way I did it. It probably could be perfected a lot, but the general overall of it is, you know, Jesus prophesied to her that you're going to be blessed. You are blessed. God's favoring you, you know. And then that story develops, and all of a sudden she's back out there in a few months, maybe a year or so. She's after that God, Jesus prophesied that or spoke it over her life. And then she's back on the land of the property, and now she owns it. And the man that she loved, she's in love with this guy. This guy loved her. And she brought him to Jesus and got him healed, and on it goes, you know. So just, you know, that's what I think we're trying to say tonight, even, that we not put it in a box, like that we have to go, like what I'm trying to say is that, oh, they could go, you know, legally take it back, and it's possible that could happen. But at the same time, it could happen like happened with her. You know, she didn't legally get it back as far as going to the lawyers and saying, my daddy, you know, but she ended up marrying somebody who just happened to be the guy who owned the land, you know, now. So it's crazy.
Yeah, it's amazing the similarities of it. But, when I heard you saying it, talking about it, I thought that's just so weird because it is so close to what happened to Hollis's grandma.
Yeah, that is.
But, you know, how often would something like that happen?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I've got a particular prayer request tonight, too.
Okay.
The couple that bought the double wide here, Sherry and Leroy are their name. They're from Dallas. Well, they said when they were living in Dallas, that they do business up there. But when they're living in Dallas, they were always hearing gunshots and stuff, and they wanted out of the city. So they sold their house. It's already sold. And they've been staying in a hotel here in this area. And they came out. They had already bought and had bought them several years ago, I guess, had bought two lots on Lake Fork and there were other trailer houses in the area, so they were pretty sure they could have a trailer house. Well, without checking further, anyhow, like I said, already sold their house, living in a hotel, got those two lots on the lake, and they came out here and looked at this double wide, and wanted it. I mean, they've already paid me. I've already put the money in the bank. Well, then they found out that, they found out that the lots that they have will not allow a trailer that's more than 5 years old. This trailer is older than that. So now they're scrambling. Yeah, they're scrambling trying to find a lot to buy somewhere. It doesn't even have to be on the lake. I mean, they're just trying to find a lot to buy.
Yeah.
And so many of the lots are restricted to no trailers. Some of them aren't even cleared yet. And, they're, like I said, they're in a hotel. They're trying to get out of this hotel. So I've been searching for them, too. They've been searching. They're really up a creek. I don't know if they have enough, I don't think they have enough money to buy a bunch of acreage. They just need an acre or two. And I've been asking, Lord, like, Lord, please help Sherry and Leroy find them a lot because, I can't imagine how much it would cost to be living in a hotel. You know, those things aren't inexpensive.
God.
Yeah, and to help them find them a place where that they can, we're not going to get moved into the house still for probably at least another 3 weeks. So we got the electricity hooked up. They're supposed to come back out tomorrow maybe and hook up the central heat and air. I haven't got the guy that's doing the plumbing hasn't been able to get here yet to do the septic, to get it all hooked up and all of that. So we're still probably 2 or 3 weeks from getting moved into the house. But this poor couple, I mean, they're hunting day and night, through half a dozen, 6 or 7 different towns around here.
Wow. So they need help to find that place or do something, some kind of something work out.
Yeah, they need, the 2 lots that they already had, they have gone ahead and put them up for sale to get them sold since they can't do that. And like I said, they've already paid for the trailer, and I've already, the money's already in the bank. So they're desperately trying to find an acre or two that they can buy that's already fairly cleared that they can get this trailer moved to so they can get out of the hotel.
Yeah. So they're going to try to sell that property instead of, you think of all kinds, I'm sure they thought of everything, but, trying to turn around and try to sell those trailers, that trailer that they have now, turn around and sell it instead of selling the property, and then get a newer trailer. If they can have a trailer on there, get a newer trailer, then that would be nice to
have.
Well,
I really hope they wouldn't come back and say, can we change our mind and get our money back since we can't move it? So I really hope it wouldn't go there. But since the trailer's sitting on our property, it's a little hard for them to turn around and sell it and it's sitting here.
We get in the house. I see. So they haven't got the trailer.
We're still living in the trailer. Our house is only about 150 feet from where the double wide is, and so we're not in our house yet. We're still in the trailer, but I'm supposed to release this double wide to them by the 20th, which I don't think is going to happen. It'll probably be the 25th or so before we can get completely out of it because I'm trying to get everything hooked up. But yeah, like I said, I've been very thankful to the Lord that they haven't come back and said, can we get our money back for the trailer? Cause we can't put that on our property.
What I'm thinking about is praying. And I don't know, I'm not saying it's the Lord or not, but I'm thinking of, they own the thing and God supernaturally brings somebody that will, maybe even pay more for it or something. That way they make some money off of it or somebody makes some money off of it. And they get the trailer and they go get them a better trailer and get a trailer and move on that property. I mean, that would be, to me, one of the best ways. I'm thinking, because I didn't know you still lived in it. That's why you were explaining that your house isn't ready yet because you're still living in that trailer house and they're not going to get it till the 25th, but they can't do it. So I don't know. I'm going to pray this prayer and then we'll see. If God, I'm not saying this is the prayer of the Lord, but so Lord, we just thank you for finding a way, for there seems to be no way, God, somehow or another, some way, make a way for them to, to sell that trailer again. I mean, just that quick, somebody came out just like they came out and bought that from Jeannie and paid her for that right then, that somebody else will come out and pay as much for it, maybe a little more or whatever, and make some money off of it and bless them. And then they can still go buy a trailer, a better trailer, a newer trailer, I should say, and be able to put it on that property. God, I think that would be the perfect thing to do in my thinking. But we thank you, Jesus, for that. We thank you for whatever you want to do. I don't know exactly what you're going to do, but we thank you for doing it. We thank you for giving wisdom and knowledge to them, to Lester. What's his name, Lester and who?
Leroy and Sherry,
yeah. I should have known that's a good Texas name, Leroy. Yeah. Leroy and Sherry, that's a good Texas name. Leroy and Sherry, thank you, Lord, that you give them wisdom, somehow open this thing up. God, bring somebody. I just keep wanting to pray to bring somebody to do something with that trailer and get them the money to have that property. So I don't know. We'll just see what happens. But whatever you're going to do, God, we thank you that you're going to work it out somehow or another, some way. We thank you, Lord, that they're not going to need to even think about asking Jeannie for that, because it's a done deal, and we think that it's going to be a done deal for a reason, and that you're going to move it on, you're going to do something about it. So we declare and decree it right now in Jesus' name that it be done somehow, some way, according to your word, according to your will, Father, that you're going to help them get that what they need in Jesus' name. The lot, the land, stay the land that they're on. Anyway, that's what I'm saying for now.
Yeah, they're beating the streets, hunting them a different lot. So just whatever God does.
Exactly. Yeah. It'll work out for good. Somehow in Jesus' name, yeah. It'll be done. All
cool.
Right.
Thank you, Lord.
All the things that belong to Hollis and all those things, because what I prayed earlier when I prayed with Angela and I were praying over that, as I said, you know, this is not just for you. This is for, we're going to pray this over all the people tonight. And then I looked down there and there's Jeannie down there. And I remembered that stuff you shared with me about Hollis. God, I don't understand it. I don't know exactly how you're going to do it, but this didn't come up for 2023 for no reason at all. So somehow, some way, whether they get, you know, something happens like the widow's mite lady, the blessing that she got. I don't know how it's going to happen, God. I thank you, Lord. Somehow let that be restored to them in the name of Jesus in some fashion or form, either the wealth, part of the money, part of the whatever it is, in the name of Jesus. And they can build them the biggest, baddest ranch that Texas has ever seen, you know, whatever. And in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the dreams you've given, God. You're going to fulfill those dreams. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord.
All right, cool.
Thank you, Jesus. That's cool. God is good.
Yeah. When I saw you down there, I thought, I'm going to check in with her and see what's going on. So, I knew that you had sold the trailer house in Double Wide and sold it pretty quick and got it taken care of. That was amazing.
I hadn't even put it up for sale yet because we weren't, you know, because we're still in it right this minute. But it was actually the boy that we bought this property from. He and his wife lived in here. He has become a realtor now. He's a young fella, you know, I don't know, 30 years old. And he knew these people. Because he's a realtor, he was, somehow or another he knew them and knew that they were hunting a trailer. And he called me one night and he said, I've got a couple of people interested in looking at the trailer. Because he knew that we were going to be moving out of it because we had a house, you know, being built. And he said, can I bring them over tomorrow? And I said, well, sure. And so they came over. Like I said, I hadn't even put it up for sale yet. They come over, walked through it about 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes at the most. And they said they liked it. And they said, we want it. And I think
Lord, just replicate that. Lord, just replicate that. Somehow, in Jesus' name.
Yeah, they just went and got a cashier's check a couple of days later and brought it to me, and that's it. So, and they've been real nice. We've enjoyed talking to them, but as they found out that they couldn't put it on their lots, And they've talked to the people over there. It really made them mad because the lots they have had an old run-down trailer house on it when they bought it that was not livable.
Uh-huh.
You know, so they thought all along that they could do that, and then I guess maybe
– yeah.
Maybe they changed the rules out there or something and then told them, said, nope, it has to be 5 years or less. So they've been looking, you know, they're not stuck on having to be on the lake or even having to be in one particular town. They've been looking and looking and just running into brick walls, seem like every which way they turn, trying to find another place. So God knows. That's all I know is
right.
God knows.
Yeah. We know that. Right? We just want to know.
Right.
We just know you're going to work it out.
Like
it.
So I've been
maybe
very,
they'll
I've
maybe
been
they'll
very
can
happy.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah. Maybe they can. The real estate guy can find somebody else. He found somebody that quick. You think he could find somebody else that would, you know, that could come out and buy it again, and maybe get a better price even, or whatever. And you know, I don't know. We'll just see.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, however they want to do it, I mean, it doesn't make me any difference. I just, like I said, I've just been glad that they hadn't come back and asked if they could have their money back since it wasn't going to work for them, because I've not wanted it to go there since I've already, you know, already got plans for that.
Yeah, y'all moved on, so it'll all work out. Yeah, somehow or another, they'll be blessed for it, in Jesus' name. And all right, awesome. Wow, let's just believe God. I can't wait to find out how that works out. It's gonna be interesting if they get some new property and they put that on there, or they, who knows what's gonna happen. But we'll see. It's gonna be interesting to watch.
Yeah, I've been praying the last few days, just asking the Lord to help them. You know, because I know they're bound to be tired of living in a hotel. But thank God they sold their place in Dallas quick. So that was a blessing for them.
Yeah, they're being blessed. They're being blessed. So that's really good. All right, Jeannie, awesome. Let me know what goes on with that. I can't wait to find out. However God works it out, it's going to be cool. I know that somehow it's going to be good.
Yeah, I believe that too. That God will work it out. He'll work it all out good. And He's been right in the middle of all of this since day one. So.
Yeah, exactly.
He'll continue.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
Yeah.
That is the whole point. He really has been. It's really beautiful. It's been beautiful to watch. Really, really cool. You got anything you want to pray about other than that before I move on here?
Yes, my horse Bandit. You know, the one that I had him checked, and he's got some arthritis in his jaw and his tongue, and it's like he's my last riding horse. So.
Oh, no.
I'm looking around at maybe buying another younger one, but he's still a really nice horse, and I'm like, Lord, please heal my horse.
Oh, that baby doll, yeah. That's Jesus. Jesus loves. We know Jesus loves horses. He's going to be riding when he comes back.
I know it.
Well, Lord, we just call upon that, your love for horses, and the fact that you created them, and that you yourself you're gonna be riding one. I guess that's gonna be literally. I don't know. I guess it's gonna be literal. So you think if it says so, it'd be literal. So thank you, Lord, for doing that and for your love for horses. And we just ask you to touch. What's his name again? For just touching Bandit tonight. We just release your blood over him. That blood covenant that Jeannie walks in. The blood of Jesus and the heritage of God and the blood of Christ that's pure and undefiled. That you cleanse and wash and him in Jesus' name. Let his genetic code be changed in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood and through Jeannie's faith in you, God, and her trust in you, God, and that covenant blood. Thank you, Lord. And I break the power of that. I've seen horses heal. I've seen dogs. I've seen God cast devils out of dogs and animals. I've heard of animals being healed before, so I'm sure you have too. We thank you, Jesus, for touching him right now, for touching Bandit right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Deliver him fully and completely, God. Let him live a full life and be blessed instead of being in that pain in his jaw and his tongue and all that. It's so sad to even think about that.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. I appreciate it.
Hey, you're so welcome. Thank you. Thanks for being on tonight. It's really cool to have you.
Thank you. No, I enjoyed it. Most of the time I'm asleep, but I was awake tonight. So.
Oh.
All right. Have a good week.
Good. All right. Thank you. All right. Bye, Jeannie. Thank you. All right. Let's take some more callers tonight. All right. 917-263. I'm going to talk to you.
Yes, good evening. How are you?
I can barely hear you. Can you talk into your phone a little better? And who am I talking to here, please?
Oh, sorry. Sorry, can you hear me now?
That's a little better, yeah. I heard something in the background, too, yeah. You have me on speakerphone?
Yeah, sorry, I took it off. Can you hear me now?
There you go. That's a little better. Thank you. All right, who am I talking to? Where are you from,
thank
please?
Thank you. Tina, calling from New Jersey.
Tina? Okay, Tina. Tina, I'm going to mute you just for a second. I'm going to pray for you. Thank you all for Tina tonight, God. And thank you for Tina for the breakthrough elements that she needs, God, that the things that need to come together to the pieces of the puzzle that need to come together to cause her to be able to move into that place, to be able to move into that place of blessings, move into that place of covering, to move into that place of being blessed by you, God, by knowing that things are coming together, like the pieces of the puzzle are coming together. Her God, that you're taking away the frustration of, you know, of the grief, and taking away the frustration of, you know, the things, just the conflicts. In Jesus' name, we bring you peace, God, in Jesus' name, and causing her to have peace in her heart, God, in the name of Jesus, and bringing those things together, Father, right now. I just declare and decree, God, that those things begin to come together. Every hindrance is broken, God, that the piece of the puzzle finish coming together so that she can see the whole picture of what you're doing, what you've done, and what you're going to do, God, in Jesus' name. That her faith in you, Jesus, is going to bring peace to the situation, Father, in the name of the Lord. And, yeah, amen. All right, so let's go here. All right.
Yes, amen. I text them just a prayer. What I want to pray about.
Okay.
Thank you.
Please pray. Okay, thank you. All right, I'll pray over that. Thank you. All right, please pray. Yeah, you've been holding for 2 hours and 10 minutes. Yeah. Oh, that was no, that was an old one. Okay. Please pray for relationships. Pray for daughter Jana and his son Naj. Thank you, Jesus, for relationship with E. Who's E? Does that E mean anything? Is that, please pray for relationship E. Oh, first, okay, person is E. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah. Okay, thank you, Lord, for this relationship situation, Father, in Jesus' name. And, yeah, we thank you, Lord, for coming forth, God, for the coming forth of things that need to come forth to move the blockages out of the way, God, this relationship, Father, with E, in Jesus' name. And the development of the things that need to, Every piece of the puzzle needs to come together with people. When people meet people, it's like a puzzle. Does it fit or does it not fit? And so sometimes it fits. You go like, wow, this really fits. I really fit in. This is like, I'm not trying to force this thing. I'm trying to make it happen. It's like a puzzle, a piece of the puzzle, and it's fitting together. And I thank you, Lord, for that. And I pray that over Tina and her relationship with E, Father, in Jesus' name, that as they find ways to piece the puzzle together, in Jesus' name, how to find that place of connection, how to do it God's way and not just the flesh way and the carnal way, that they'll do it by the Spirit in Jesus' name, that they'll develop in love and have friends and go out and enjoy each other and just see if things fit together. If they fit together, then it fits the fit. And when it fits, both people will know it. And I thank you, Lord, for letting that be made known and working that and showing them how to develop that to find out, you know, whether it fits or not, in Jesus' name. And for daughter, pray for the daughter, Jana, and thank the Lord that you touched Jana, Father, in Jesus' name, that you're showing her how to open up her heart to you, Jesus. Open up her heart to you, Jesus, in every way, not just in one way, not just as Savior, but as Lord, as friend, as, you know, healer, as deliverer, as provider, that Jonna will understand you in all those ways, God. You're going to develop Jonna's faith, Father, where she can know you in every way, God, that you can show her that you're the provider that she needs. And you not just provide money and provision for that, which is very important, but for relationships and friendships and how to heal friendships and how to keep friends and how to work a relationship in a way that you develop and you give people the love that they know is real love. She's learning how to do that, Father, and walking the love realm. And love always shows love in a way that people can receive it. People know that that's real love. I can identify with that love, the identifying kind of love. In Jesus' name, pray for son Naj. God, we hope for Naj tonight. God, we thank you, Lord, for any area where Naj, where the enemy tries to get him to compromise, to take second best or second rate. God, that Naj will hold fast to his convictions. In Jesus' name, and that you will give him the strength and courage, like Joshua, to not bow to fear or to knowing that God has called him and chosen him, and that can't be stopped. But sometimes we go through times where we get tested and tried, and sometimes we fail the test, and then what we take the test again. God doesn't say you fail that test, you're out. We fail a test when we don't make tests all perfect. What you do is you give us another chance we study more, and we learn more, and we figure out what we're not doing right, and we start, you know, letting God change it and do something new. And we pass the test. When you pass the test, it's like Jesus did. When Jesus passed the test in the wilderness, where he was tempted of the devil and he overcame all three areas, he walked in there with an anointing. He walked in there with favor, and I thank you for that, for Naj, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, and for Tina, God, thank you for Tina tonight, God, that you help her, Father, to learn how to, sometimes we try things and see if they work. If they don't work, we move on. Sometimes, you know, we have to learn how to test and try things. We don't always, hearing from God's not always perfect. Sometimes we have to learn how to test the ground to see if this is even close to what we're looking at, what we want, what we desire. And the promises you have promised her, God, that if she will be patient and thank you and give you praise and enter into the spirit of praise and worship and let you bring your will about without it being forced or pushed. God, I think you're giving her faith and patience, God, on how to trust you, God, that that when you do it and you keep it. If we do it, then we have to keep it. And I think it just wears us out when we get something going on, just like Abraham got Ishmael going. He had to kind of, you know, it was kind of a mess, and it was a mess for a long time. But you helped him conquer that. You showed him how to move on past that, and you're showing her how to move past things into new things. God, in Jesus' name, little by little. And a friend, Tracy, a guy named Tracy, thank you, Lord, for Tracy, God, that Tracy's heart is being healed, God, in Jesus' name, that Tracy is learning that God is a creator and God can create where things are missing, where things are not there. But all the things that are missing in Tracy's life, God, that he will realize that those things can be created by God, that God knows what Tracy needs. God knows what makes him tick, what makes him work, what makes him feel loved, what makes him feel respected, what makes him feel honored. And God, you're going to create that in him in Jesus' name. Whatever's lacking, whatever is missing, you're going to create that, develop that, because you're a creator, God. And bless him and give him your favor, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Thank you. All right. Let's go here to 915-929. Who am I talking to you from, please?
It's me, Carmen, from Texas.
Oh, hey, Carmen. All right, Carmen, good to have you tonight. All right. Let me mute you there for a second. Okay, you're welcome, Tina. Thank you. I'd like to ask for prayer for my daughter, Jessica. All right, so I got a list here. Good, I love lists. And So she just sent this to me. I didn't know that was her, but she sent this to me. She said, "Probably can you? I'd like to ask for prayer for my daughter, Jessica, my grandchildren, names. So let's just start praying for this. We thank you, Lord, for Jessica, God. We thank you, Lord, for Jessica, God, that the heart that you've given her, she doesn't even know that heart yet, but she's going to find it. She's going to find that heart that you've given her, God, that you have for her, is a heart of strength and power and compassion and wisdom, God. And that package that you've given her, God, comes from with a heart, the heart of God, the heart of God in her, God, that's in her. And Jesus, I thank you for Jessica, God, that you are going to open their heart and let her see that what she's lacking is really already hers, but she just needs to tap into it. She needs to learn to activate it through her faith in Jesus, through her faith in God, and learn how to nurture a relationship with God with the heart, from the heart, instead of just doing things from the mind. The mind will go all over the place, believe in all kinds of things, but the heart is with the heart that God uses for man to believe. And I thank you, Lord, that the heart you've given her, God, is a powerful heart, is a loving heart, is a wise heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Open it up for her, God. Make a way where she will receive that heart that's already hers in Jesus. Amen. Her grandchildren, David, we pray for David tonight, God. We thank you for Carmen's grandchildren. David, God, we pray that David will find his way, God, where things get lost, where things get stolen, where things get robbed. That David will find that in God, that nobody can ever steal anything and keep it, that God will always bring it back to us. And I thank you, Lord, for all the things that have been stolen and robbed from him, God, that he will receive everything that is designed for him, that he will not come short of the glory of God, of the perfection of God. The perfection of God is a human being in relationship with him, with a relationship with God, and loving God and being a worshiper. And I think for the worshiper in David, God, that he's a worshiper, God, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, that the worship, spirit of worship will come upon him, and he'll find himself on his face, prostrate before God, laughing and crying at the same time and feeling loved in Jesus' name, hallelujah. For Nathaniel, I think for Nathaniel, God, Nathaniel will find his way to a place of peace, the peace of God, that when we walk into the peace of God, we try to find peace ourselves, make peace in our own kind of way, but God is a way to make peace. Behold, blessed are the peacemakers, for they are sons of God, for they are the sons of God. We thank the Lord that Nathaniel will find that place of peace, God, that comes from God, that only works in God's way. God has a certain way that peace works, and if we find that peace is always ours. And when peace always opens us up to living a full life, and without fear. And so in Jesus' name, amen. All right, Joseph, thank you, Lord, for Joseph. And thank you, Lord, for Joseph tonight. I feel like I'm praying for all the patriarchs in the Bible almost, you know. Joseph, thank you, Jesus, for Joseph, God, that Joseph's heart will find out that the wisdom of God, that the wisdom that Jesus has for him is the wisdom that's not, the fame of Joseph, same grandchild. Well, let me pray over his last name too. So, we thank you, Lord, that Joseph will find that place, God. Nathaniel Joseph will find that place of peace and the wisdom of God, God. That he will find that the wisdom of God, it's not a human wisdom, but it is the wisdom of God. And that when you find peace, you find wisdom. You find that place of God where you start. Not doing things out of anxiety and stress, but you do work out of peace, and that wisdom that comes from that is amazing. So for Sarah, Lord, we think for Sarah, God, that God, Sarah, you will bless Sarah and let Sarah know that she's been born to bear fruit. You have created her to develop and bear fruit, God, in Jesus' name. And I speak of her life that just like Sarah was named Sarah, changed her name, and she was to bear fruit. Her purpose was to bear fruit. And I thank you, Jesus, that she will bear fruit. It's not just about having children only. It's about bearing fruit with God, bearing fruit. In other words, producing things, making things work, making things happen, being prosperous, being blessed in Jesus' name, and knowing that it's God that's done it in Jesus' name, where God moved in and intervened and blessed in spite of the unlikely circumstances that seem to surround, that God intervenes in that. All right, Daniel, for a new job, we thank for Daniel. Daniel, for a new job, God, we thank you, God, that you are going to open up for him, God, new things, that he will be valued in, that he will be respected in, he will be honored in Jesus' name, and that would be that he'll be able to use his God giftings to be respected and be honored. Amen. In Jesus' name, the spirit of honor upon Daniel, Father, in Jesus' name. And his sons, David and Joe, thank you for David, God. We thank you, Lord, for David, Lord. We thank you, God, that fears and everything that David has dealt with, God, that you show him how to get rid of those fears, how to walk past those fears, where he can sit back and rest and not worry about what men think or what people think about him, but only what, you know, his Heavenly Father thinks about him, that he will come into that relationship, Father, where he will know that you are his Father and that you have, that he doesn't have to fear what people think or what people do, that you're going to use David to speak plainly and clearly and clarify things and make things clear and plain in Jesus' name, that where they're not confused and would make a path straight and narrow. And in his life, in Jesus' name, and for Joe. Lord, we think for Joe, God, that Joe's heart will be restored to you, God. His heart will be totally restored to you, Father, in every way. And his faith, well, he will find his faith in you, Jesus, and instead of in people and in things, that his heart and his faith will be found in you, Jesus, in Jesus' name. And he will know that you're going to restore him completely, in Jesus' name. Brother Louis, for his hip, we thank you, Lord, for Louis. God, we ask you, God, to show Louis how to find ways of healing through the name of Jesus. When you ask Jesus to heal you, sometimes it's miraculous. Sometimes he leads you. Like with me, I have a hip problem, and I went to the, you know, Planet Fitness and where I exercise, and they have a waterbed thing there where you, not a waterbed, but not a waterbed. It's a thing that massages you, and you lay in it, and the water just vibrates and brought total healing to my side. I had like a sciatic nerve working, and I got run over a tractor many, many years ago, and the doctor told me, you know, you could have a problem. You're, sure enough, you know, 40 years later, whenever it was, 50 years later, 40, 45 years later, you know, I'm having trouble with it, and I go to the gym. The Lord said, get on that thing and let it massage you out, and it did. I never had that problem no longer. So it wasn't about miraculous healing. It was about being led and guided by God. So lead Louis, God. Show him ways to find healing in Jesus' name. However it is, Lord, we thank you and give you the glory for it in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
All right, Carmen. Anything else? Before I move on, if that's, what time is it? It's 11:50. All right, let's check in and see what's going on here. Anything you wanted to say, or?
Yeah, you can pray for me.
Oh, that's fine.
Let's
do that. Okay, let's do that. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Carmen. I did forget about you. I don't know what I'm thinking about tonight. God is good. That's what it is. I just see you moving to this place where, even though you already know God is good, but that you're going to see how good God really is. You know, I mean, we all know God is good, but to see it, it's like I see you seeing the goodness of God and going, wow, look at the goodness of God. Look at the goodness of God. Look at the goodness of God, where his goodness is revealed, where he's saying, you know, he's going to resolve issues and problems and things. You're just going to go, wow, he did that. I didn't even know it was done right before me. I didn't even know it was done. It was done, you know, and it's like God working in his goodness, showing up in places. You're going like, oh, my Lord, look at the goodness of God. Look at the goodness of God. Look how good God is. I mean, even though I've already known how good God is, but look how good he is. It's like I hear you saying that because he's revealing his goodness to you, Carmen, in Jesus' name, in new ways, and developing your heart and showing you things, or God making a way where there seems to be no way, and that kind of thing. And so thank you, Jesus, for that development phase where you're developing that goodness, God, you're developing that. It's a development. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that. So, you know, when we drink of the goodness of the Lord, there's something about it. or drink of his goodness, it just makes us feel good. I feel good, bum, 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 the way I know that I should now. We all know we're supposed to feel good about God, right? But sometimes I've been angry at God. I didn't think he was being too good to me. Going to find out he was really good because he saved me from situations that I was asking for, and he didn't answer my prayer. And I thought, you're not a very good God. I mean, I know you're a good God, but why aren't you answering this? You know, and so I didn't really understand all that, but he was really good. He saved me from some stuff. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. But, yeah, and so all kinds of the goodness of God. The goodness of God is good. Amen. He's opening it up in Jesus' name. Amen. For a season of great goodness, the hyper goodness or something. I don't know why, but we'll see what goes on with that. Awesome. All right, Connor. Thank you very much. Let's go here to 251-229. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, Prophet Randy. It's Sarah from Alabama.
Hey, Sarah. Hi, Sarah. Let's pray. Thanks for being with us. All right. Hi. Good to have you tonight. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Sarah. Thank you, Lord, for bringing forth those things, God, of her faith, God, showing her the levels of faith, how to activate them, how to walk in them, how to see where we seem to have failure, that failure comes from really most, many times failure comes from what seeming like failure comes from, not learning, not activating our faith. Sometimes we're waiting on God, and God says, well, you know, I want you to activate your faith. I want you to step out. I want you to move. I want you to do something. And so, you know, for some reason, faith with an action is what works. Faith without action is dead. Faith without works is dead. But faith with works brings things alive. In other words, faith with works causes things to happen, causes things to come alive, causes things to, you know, like it was been dead. That prayer seems like it's dead, and all of a sudden, that answered prayer is no longer dead anymore. It's now alive because your faith activated it and brought it to life. And God's showing you how to activate your faith. You know, there's different ways we do it. You know, he'll ask us to do something in agreement with him. And that may be something a little different, something we've never done before. And it's to activate our faith because faith without works is dead. But faith with works, in other words, doing something God's inspiring you to do, to activate that thing, to cause it to come alive. Faith with works is alive, causes it to happen, is our faith into action and in ways that we haven't seen before. In Jesus' name, amen. Show her how to develop that in every area of her life, God, so she can be truly blessed, fully and fully, fully, fully. Hi, Sarah, what's going on tonight? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. I like the way you say fully, fully, fully.
Yeah.
That's good.
That is good.
Well, it's good talking with you, you know, and everything, because when the Lord says something, it's best to move in faith. And if he tells you that first time, just walk out on it and believe that he's going to make it good and arrange it the way he wants it to be. And don't listen to that second,
right.
You know, that's the second thought, that's doubt. So I understand, and I appreciate you, you know. I wanted to get prayer tonight, if you would, please. I've been praying about, let me give you a testimony first, and then I'll get the prayer. I was having problems with my knees and everything, and it was really bothering me health-wise. But the Lord delivered, and now I, you know, can walk, run, and everything. It's amazing what the Lord
does.
Yeah.
Wow. So
is he
having arthritis problems? What problem was it? Was it just pain or what?
It was arthritis. Arthritis.
Okay.
And
right.
The weather, you know, we had that cold freeze. That hard freeze,
right.
I tell you, it was really climbing up the ladder. And so the Lord came in and just turned the thing around and brought health back into them. So
right.
I feel good, you know. And my birthday is tomorrow, so I'm feeling really good. Yeah, I'll be 52.
Oh, you're young.
Yeah, I'm pretty
very young.
I can turn around to 25.
Yeah. And the fact that your knee's doing better, that's even better.
Yeah. I had to lose some weight, though, for them to feel better. But I haven't lost as much as I should have, according to the doctor. So I know the Lord came in and healed them, you know,
right.
Through prayer. So I want to tell you that. And praying for Leah, you know, right now, because she's not, you know, she's sick. She's not doing well in that arena. She's in that area. She's basically has a lot of stomach problems and I think nervousness because with school and everything, wanting to do so good in that area. So.
Right.
And so I wanted you to get prayer for that.
Okay.
And plus, I forgot to tell you this. I'm starting a new job, so I was praying for favor with that and direction.
Yeah, and praying for healing for what was that you saying before that?
For Leah.
I'm not hearing you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. There you go. Now say it one more time. Here, I got you now.
Okay. Praying for healing for Leah, you know. She was having some issues with her stomach and everything, so.
Yeah. All right. And then for your job thing. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
We will do that. I'm going to mute you and thank you. All right. So for Leah, Lord, we thank for Leah, God. We thank you, Lord, for showing her all the, you know, the physical things she needs to do to solve that problem, to look to what she eats and all that, to look at that and understand that and start looking to, you know, we believe God to heal us. But then sometimes I've seen a lot of people get healed of things and they go back to doing their same old thing they always did again right back because the way they're eating, the way they're doing things. So whatever seems to change with that, I don't know, God, what's up with that. But I thank you, Lord, for letting us bring total healing in every way. God, we just won't get healed and then go away and do the same old thing we always do and it comes back on us and we blame God for it. I've done that before. God, I thought you healed me of that. And so we thank you, Jesus, for touching her, God, for showing her all the different ways that you heal and that you touch and that you do things. In Jesus' name, we bless her and give her to walk in that, how to, you know, believe God. And it's not just in the name of Jesus. And then we go back to, you know, eating and drinking our stuff we always drink and we end up with our bodies. We thank you, Lord, that you're helping her to understand the full counsel of God and the ways of God, how we do things in the kingdom of God. So bless her with that, Jesus, and give her strength, God. She's a lovely girl, God. We thank you for making her feel like she's beautiful and that she's lovely in your sight, God, and she's loved by you, God, and feeling that love, God, in the name of the Lord and blessing her, causing her to be blessed and highly favored, God, in Jesus' name, in her life, in the name of Jesus. And for Sarah, God, her new job, thank you, Lord, for that. We just bless you, Jesus, for all that. We thank you, Lord, for opening up for her, giving her favor, giving her understanding, giving her wisdom, giving her patience, giving her that ability to learn and absorb and process information, learn her new job, God, and great peace and joy and excitement in Jesus' name, and being a blessing to people like she always is in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Being a blessing. Amen, amen, amen. All right, and Leah being a blessing. She is a blessing. Make her more of a blessing, God. In the name of Jesus, restoring and correcting and making all things right and beautiful, God. How you correct us. We're doing things that are hurting us. We don't even know it. You correct it. We get all of a sudden everything changes. What's going on with that? Yeah. It's the love of God. It's the favor of God. He helps us. He shows us. It's such love. It's such compassion. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. All right, y'all. I guess that's it for tonight. I'm going to call it a night tonight. Thank you very much. It's midnight in Texas. And that's my last caller with their hand up. So I guess I'm going to call it a night. Thank you so much. Thanks for everybody for calling in. Tomorrow's Wednesday night. Make sure and call in early if you need to. We have time zone issues so that we have to stay up half the night. and put it on speakerphone. So you have to hold the phone up to your head. You can hear when we call your number. We'd love to minister to you and pray for you. And just call in anytime you want. Anytime you want. And we will do our best to believe God to help you get through whatever you're going through and bless you and lift you up, build you up. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Okay, everybody. You're calling tonight. Thank you so much. Right, bye-bye.